对对对对对对，我对此一腔的意见。
嗯。
像粗口发泄这种。
You have to know what's going on. You have to record it properly. You know that is.
On like when we were younger, we used to pick up just particular issues of relevance to municipality, local government.
Better settle. About against that. Honorable members, let me welcome everyone to our meeting of the Portfolio Committee. Today we are going to handle a very interesting topic throughout the whole of the day. It's about, once again, electricity. Electricity, we can't escape it, or it can't escape us. One of the two. We thought by now we would have done with it and would have started handling other areas, but unfortunately, we just have to grill and go almost through a tooth comb in addressing, you know, issues that relate to electricity. But obviously, we will do so as well in other areas, the liquid fuels, unavoidably, because of the challenges in ensuring that there's a security of supplies in a sustainable and affordable and as well as accessible way. At the end of the day, we would like to see, as I have said, affordable and accessible accessibility, that improves accessibility to energy, electricity in this manner. Amongst other things, as one of the tools that the government introduced was the free basic energy, electricity linked to free basic alternative energy. And then the approach then today is that whilst we're moving towards at some stage handling the electricity, the reviewal of the electricity policy, number one. Number two, the MYPD, what's the full name? Multi-year price determination. The route towards that, amongst the, is also to handle free basic electricity. It's very fundamental for us as Parliament to ensure that we don't just get focused and seized with ensuring that there's a tariff at the end of the day, there's a policy at the end of the day, but also we consider some of the issues or factors that influence that, particularly for the poor. The highlight then for today is the free basic electricity. Of course, in the afternoon, we'll be looking at another dimension by Eskom only, and whoever else will be joining Eskom. I trust and hope the metros that we invited will come, because we'll be looking at the power interruptions. Because much as we'll be looking at these tools in the morning, but also have to get it clear in our minds as a committee that is assigned by this parliament to ensure that we monitor, and not only monitor, but insist and get an assurance from the service providers within the public sector that power interruptions are minimized. We know they'll be there. In life, you can't have a 100% arrangement. Sometimes interruptions do come, but we need to know as to, in that case, what measures are in place to minimize such inconveniences. So that's the work out for the whole day today. Before we go into apologies, can I welcome as well members from other portfolio committees as well as the select committees. It is on that basis then I would appeal that we introduce ourselves as members, and also I think also from the side of those who will be coming and making presentations and briefings, because we've got quite a number, you know, other than the usual energy officials, we expect ESCOM, NERSA, SALCA, the National Treasury, again, the Financial Fiscal Commission to be around. We did, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee for Energy, invite just other members from other portfolio committees, because at the end of the day, you know, once you say free basic electricity, unavoidably the municipal angle comes in very, very crucially. And we felt also that on that basis, other committees should be invited, and particularly the NCOP, who is the anchor or the link with the municipal community. Can I then request the members to introduce themselves? Let's start with you, Tomrit.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Gloria Borman, and I'm from the Human Settlements Portfolio. Our chairperson is involved with another committee. I'm not sure if she's going to be able to make it in and out here today. Thank you.
That's fine. At least as long as there's someone. The main thing is to ensure that there's a link so that you can share with the rest of the committee of issues that are that we raise there, which you would maintain they are pertinent to your competency as Human Settlements.
Eric Lucas, member of the committee.
Nambula Matibela, member of this committee.
Thank you. Raul Silau, member of Energy Committee.
David Ross, member of the committee.
Willem Faber, member of the Select Committee on Education, Recreation and Social Services.
Social services component is what brought you here.
And as well as education recreation.
Okay, yeah. No, my emphasis is the social services.
Yes.
Because it's about free basic electricity. Thanks very much, Honorable Father.
Jacques Smaller, member of this Portfolio Committee of Energy.
Morning to everybody. Helen Lemula, member of the PC on Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Thank you very much. That's just another community that we need, particularly when we handle issues like this. Thanks for attending. We're done with the members. Okay, let's just quickly go through the presenters or would be presenters led by the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Thabang Odette. I'm from the Department of Energy, and I'll be doing both the morning and the afternoon presentation.
Morning, Chair. I'm Jaffe, spokesperson for ESCOM.
Morning, Tulufelo Molefe from ESCOM.
Morning, Kanan Lakshmiharan from ESCOM.
Goedemorgen, Ayanda Noah from ESCOM.
Mkololi Ngube from the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Bongani Kumalo from the Financial and Fiscal Commission.
Kandijit Boyce from SALCA.
Sanbon Sandile Maphumulo. Supporting SALCA today, but from a tailwind.
Morning, Chris Nitzan, the National Executive SALCA.
Morning, Charles Geldof from NERSA.
Morning, Mulero Ngatezu from NERSA.
Morning, Andreas Keller from Stellenbosch University.
Good morning, Sir Marissa Moore, National Treasury.
Morning, Chair. Karen de Villiers from ESCOM.
Morning, Arnie de Villiers from CESL.
We unfortunately, we have to allow you at least not to stop you talking. I wanted the service providers more than anything. Anyway, without wasting any time, apologies, Mr. Kote.
Thank you, Chairperson. Receive the following apologies. Honorable Maloto, who had to fly to Johannesburg yesterday to attend an urgent meeting. Honorable Khadebe, who's in his constituency. The President is visiting his constituency chair. And then also an apology from the Director General from the Department of Energy, Honorable Mrs. Magubani, who is chairing a meeting in Pretoria, Chair, which you could not miss. That's the apologies, Chair.
Thank you very much. Shall we allow the department now? We do not have the hard copies from the department. That's very strange. Can you get an explanation why we do not have copies of the presentation?
Yeah, we apologize for that. I'm sure they are still busy printing. They will come through during the meeting.
Yes, you know, apology actually disarms someone. You really know that someone has humbled himself, but what if the apology becomes a practice now? I'm sure honored members will take note of that. Thank you.
Chair, just to take the members through the presentation. So in terms of the outline, we have the key areas that you want to focus on, Chair, are the third, fourth bullet points. And this talks specifically to the funding. And the fourth one is the challenges and the possible interventions around free basic electricity. And Chair, we also have some concluding remarks which we hope will take us forward. Just to touch a bit, Chair, on the background, this comes from our own government announcement in year 2000, wherein we did indicate our intent to increase access to basic energy. Chair, in year 2003, we started the program that would focus on the basic energy to poor households with a clear intention to alleviate poverty. As well, secondly, Chair, as the health impact, negative health impact that some of these alternative energies were having on our people. And Chair, on the free basic electricity, there are two areas that we have made provision for from a policy perspective, and that's relate to the grid as well as the non-grid. Chair, for the grid, I will talk to that a little bit later in the presentation. However, what I'm highlighting here is that for those unelectrified households, free basic electricity, you know, it doesn't affect them positively. So that necessitated, Chair, that we introduce what you refer to as free basic alternative energy. So what this means, Chair, is other forms of energy than electricity. And we have guidelines that we have developed, Chair, to assist with that. We're also indicating that the free basic alternative energy is more expensive in terms of implementing than the free basic electricity. And the primary reason for that, Chair, is that most of these alternative energies are not regulated, as you can imagine, Chair. Chair, over and above introducing this free basic forms of energies, we also understand that affordability is also a key issue. Chair, recently we have introduced what we refer to as inclining block tariff. What this is trying to do, Chair, is to protect the lowest consumers of electricity in terms of volumes. So what we will have, Chair, is depending on your monthly consumption of electricity, there will be different tariffs. So this we refer to as the inclining block tariff. However, Chair, there are certain challenges within some municipalities to implement the IBT. Chair, in terms of the subsidized electrification, Chair, we have two implementers, if you like, and two is at a global level, at the national level. We have one being Eskom and the other being local municipalities. And, Chair, you will see that as I go through the presentation that there are certain challenges arising from having those two implementers because there are certain inconsistencies that we have picked during the implementation. And, Chair, over and above the IBT, there's a certain tariff blocks that we refer to in the percentage increases that is part and parcel of the MYPD. And this is to protect, again, Chair, the lowest consumers of electricity in terms of the electricity price increase. We have a range of increases starting from 15% right up to 30% as approved by the regulator. And this depends on what volumes are you consuming on a monthly basis.
So, is that linked to the IBT?
Chair, the IBT is an instrument that we introduced later during the after the MYPD approval, and the implementation thereof is over and above what we're indicating there.
Oh, okay.
Chair, not to dwell too much on the enabling legislation, but the point here, Chair, is to demonstrate that there are certain mandates that both the province and the municipal derives from the Constitution. And in other instances, these two mandates tends to create what we refer to as inconsistent implementation of our policy. Chair, in terms of what we're talking about when we refer to free basic electricity, our current policy, Chair, states that a maximum of 50 kilowatt hours, so this is the amount of electricity that those that qualify would get for free. This is based, the 50 kilowatt hours is based on some study that was done. Chair, we have had comments or concerns that this amount is too little and it needs to be increased. You know, depending on where you sit, Chair, there are positives and negatives of increasing from 50 kilowatt hours to a higher amount. And I think the primary driver for that is the cost of subsidizing that, as well as the cost of the infrastructure that you have to also increase. Chair, in terms of the other alternative forms of energy, I have highlighted here just two areas, one on the petroleum products and the others on the renewable unelectrified. Just to highlight, Chair, that over and above the electricity, there are other alternative energies that we do give subsidies to, especially for the rural communities. Chair, to shift the focus a bit from the background and to get to the challenges, implementation challenges. Chair, these challenges as a department from where we are sitting, due to the fact that the implementation is in the municipal area of jurisdiction and ESCOM's area, we have picked some challenges that, Chair, we thought we'd share with the committee today. And the first one is the practice of using electricity as a credit control measure. Chair, in short, what that means is that if you fail to pay for some of your services to the municipality, you find that your electricity gets cut off until you are able to make the payment. And this is an instrument that is used across many municipalities, Chair. And the problem with that, Chair, as I will indicate later on, is that for that period that you don't have electricity, although you might qualify for free basic electricity, you obviously will not get that free basic service. And if you go over a month without that service, you cannot claim it back. So you can't claim it back retrospective. So that's the one challenge, Chair, that the disconnections are in some way, you know, disempowering those poor communities from enjoying the free basic services. And Chair, as I indicated, the FBE does not accumulate. So if you don't use it for that particular month, you have lost it. So you come the first of the following month, you get another 50 kilowatt allocation. Chair, the other point that I wanted to raise was that due to limited funds, you know, some municipalities have indicated that they don't have the funds made available through COCTA to them to accommodate everyone that qualifies for the free basic electricity. So that's one of the other challenges that we have picked up, Chair. And I guess this talks directly to the funding made available from the fiscus. Chair, the other challenge that we have picked is the inconsistency in the application of free basic electricity policy. And as you would imagine, Chair, there are about 182 licensed municipalities, and there's ESCOM on the other side. So across the board, there is no consistency in how this policy is implemented. The other challenges that we have come across, Chair, is the policy to register the, you know, those who qualify, to have a central database for everyone that qualifies. The database is there, but you can, you know, it's not 100% as it should be. How these free basic services are verified and you know, and monitoring thereof, it's also a challenge that you have to. Chair, there are four, I'm highlighting here five actually, key entities and departments that are involved. And communication amongst these five can sometimes pose a challenge in terms of what, on one hand, the national department would do or envisage to do, and on the other hand, the implementers, being as common municipality, what is actually happening on the ground. There seems to be somehow a distance in terms of that we are not 100% aligned. Chair, the FBE is based on a token or what some refer to as the prepaid metering system. And in some areas, you find that the, you know, because people are asked to approach the service provider, and by them doing that, wanting to qualify for free basic electricity, they would be required to install a prepaid meter. And that poses a challenge in some areas, in that most municipalities, their tariff for prepaid meter is slightly higher than a tariff for an ordinary meter where you pay your account after usage. So there are those challenges, Chair, that some people would say, no, I wouldn't go there because the tariff is higher in any way. So they would get the first 50 kilowatt hour, which they would get for free. But once they want to consume more, then they would be charged the tariff, which is higher than the normal ordinary meter, because of those tariff discrepancies between prepaid and the normal ordinary metering. Okay, as I highlighted, lack of communication amongst ourselves, it's somehow, you know, we are not implementing the policy as envisaged. And there's also an issue of monitoring and evaluation of exactly who was qualified to receive free basic services, and who did actually receive these, and can you verify the numbers? Because once we get this right, Chair, it will help us to plan, especially from the finance side of things, to help us to plan ahead. Chair, on the funding allocation, as I indicated, there's an apportionment for both FBE as well as free basic alternative energy. And this flows, the funds flows to the municipalities through the local, through SALGA, sorry, through COCTA. So it will flow to the municipalities to be dispersed for those who qualify for free basic electricity. Chair, over and above the fiscal allocation, there's what you refer to as intergovernmental grants. And the challenge there is to ensure that, you know, the funds that will flow from those grants, they pass the benefits directly to the targeted household. Sometimes you find that the funds are diverted elsewhere, and that creates a problem. Chair, in terms of the comparison between the what we're expecting would be consumed under FBE and what is actually being consumed, you can see, Chair, the percentages are there for each province. So on average, the consumption is less. The consumption under FBE is less than what is expected to be consumed. And these, the reasons might vary. Some people, they get disconnected. Others are not consuming the full 50 kilowatt hours. So the reasons might vary there. Okay, in terms of the numbers, percentage-wise, per province, we have two sets of data here. We have the one that comes from census of 2001 in terms of the total indigent households. So that's the second column. That's that column there. And compared to that, you have another set of data that comes from the municipality. Chair, this percentage is based on the first column, because this is the highest in terms of numbers. So we're calculating the percentage based on the census data. And as you can see, the column on your further right-hand side, the last column that indicates the percentage, on average we have about 69% of indigent households getting the free basic service benefit. So that's on average nationwide. There seems to be some odd in terms of the Western Cape. You can see that the beneficiaries are much higher than both the census and the municipal data. So there seems to be data inconsistency on that. But we thought, just to demonstrate the fact how important data is, we'll include it in the presentation. Chair, just in terms of access to one of the forms of free basic energies, and to be more specific, access to free basic electricity or to electricity, in 96, the red areas indicates an access where about 76 to 100% of the household did not have access to electricity. And then as you move to the green area on the same map, the green area indicates areas where about 0 to 25% of households did not have access to electricity. The picture is slightly different when you look at the 2010 data, in that the red area is almost zero, and the red area again is the area that talks specifically to households between 76 and 100% without access to electricity. So to summarize these two diagrams, Chair, is that the access to electricity, the Integrated National Electrification Program, is working, although perhaps at this point we thought that we would have removed all the red areas. But this is only for electricity, Chair. Yeah, I worked on the extreme. Okay. The darker green on the first map on this one, the top. So just on that map there, the top, the darker green areas. So, for example, that area there, is 0 to 25% households without access to electricity. So when you look at one area, about 25% of the households do not have access to electricity. Okay, and then the lighter green, about 26 to 50% of households do not have access to electricity. The orange is 51 to 75, and then the red, which is, you know, it means almost everyone in that community did not have access to electricity, which is 76 to 100% of the people residing in that specific area. So it's the same for the second map. The red one, it says almost everyone in that area do not have access to electricity. And when I say almost everyone, it's between 76 to 100% of the people residing in that area without access to electricity. The blue one, that area, for example, up to 25% of the community do not have access to electricity. And the gray is 26 to 50%. And the lighter orange is 51 to 75% of the people residing in that area without access to electricity. So to summarize the two maps, what we are saying is that the people that do not have, the areas that don't have access to electricity are reducing. In other words, the reds are disappearing. And the objective obviously is to have everyone, you know, having access to electricity where possible. So that's the INEP objective. And the map, the two maps are demonstrating that although we are moving very slowly, but we are getting there towards the target. Chair, in conclusion, currently we are reviewing our policies, Chair, to, you know, based on the comments or inputs that we have received during the implementation of free basic electricity and free basic alternative energy. This has led to us having to review our policies so that we take into account the developments that are happening on the field. Chair, we also raise an alarm that, you know, we need to improve our monitoring mechanism because without data you cannot plan properly. Chair, there's a, you know, in terms of the municipalities especially, we are in talks with COGTA, and the intention is that we need to assist the municipalities to implement this policy rapidly. As you can imagine, Chair, it affects the poorest of the poor, and for us to be, you know, leaving it to carry on as it does now, it's not acceptable. Chair, that's my last slide. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we get NERSA? Is NERSA ready? Honourable members, whilst NERSA is berating itself, please, can you also make sure that SALGA's presentation is in the machine so that we have very, very little time in between. We've got six presentations. Yes, sir.
I realise that we have a lot of presentations, but we're going off this one now, and we don't have anything in front of us. I'm just wondering if it would be possible for us to perhaps ask some questions of that.
In fact, you're right. Okay, Gloam. No. Look, listen to that going on. Whilst you are very right, because we don't even have... I had to scribble here, and I usually scribble my notes right on the presentation itself so that I keep the record close to the presentation. Thanks for that. Honourable members, let's go for it. Questions. Let's start with you, Honourable Bowman, and then we'll come from that side down.
Thank you very much. Obviously, I come from a human settlements background, so yeah, that is my concern. Yes. I want to just understand if I can have the alternate free basic alternate energy and the subsidy that we make to that. How does that work? Is that in kind? Is that in financial terms? I'd just like an explanation about that. And then the I think it's quite concerning that, you know, we're putting in these prepaid meters and people are having to pay a higher price for their petrol,
electricity. You are very right.
For the electricity.
It's just that today we're dealing with electricity.
Yes, and I want, you know, I'd like to know, because, I mean, and it's in the poorer areas that we're actually introducing this. So how, you know, how can we rectify that? Why would need to be higher? And it's the same old story. You know, we've got people way out. They've got to pay more for their transport to come in. The poor people always suffer at the end of the day. And then I'm also very concerned about the huge discrepancy in the data. And you're quite correct in saying that, you know, unless we got proper data, we don't know what we're dealing with, between the census and the municipal data. So I know you say you're working on it, but sometimes the frustration is how long it takes to work on it. And, you know, whilst people are really struggling. But I think, and I mean, I just took Etiquette there, for example, and that's a very well-run municipality, and yet, you know, you're talking about double the amount in the census and half in the municipality. I think those would be my two questions for now. Can I just do one more? Yes, the cut electricity when other services are not paid. I don't understand that. If we are cutting electricity because an electricity bill hasn't been paid, perhaps that's one thing, but I'm hearing now that we're cutting electricity because other services have not been paid. Now, I'd like some clarity on that, because that doesn't seem to make sense at all, especially when you're talking about people who've got a free basic electricity to start with.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think probably a very sensitive issue to a whole lot of normal consumers out there, and thinking of where the department actually should come into with regards to protecting the actual consumer. I think I would like to understand is, first of all, maybe the discrepancy, or how often do you get to the 50 kilowatts up once from 20 kilowatts to 50 kilowatts? Maybe if I see some of the research done by Eskom, thinking of 200 kilowatts, there are reports that refers to kilowatts. How often do you do that research, and what informs that research? Your monitoring of your indigenous or your free basic electricity, current consumers receiving that, those consumers going out of that free basic, getting more and more into the economic flow of our financial situations, where they become more entrepreneurs for themselves, and those people should be getting those 50 kilowatt services. It should go towards the needing, and I want to understand, how do you force the monitoring onto municipalities so that that information and that data is reliable, so that we can start assisting more people and start taking other people off the grids that shouldn't be getting, because that's quite easy to monitor it, because it's about the usage of percentage of what it does is. You also made reference to the discrepancies on prepaid meters. I would want to say that it goes twofold. First of all, prepaid meters gets paid off by the individual, and therefore an agreement between the local authority and the municipality actually and the consumer happens. Therefore, some of the municipalities in the discrepancies. There's also a concern from consumers, and I actually met with a actual municipality yesterday, Papala Borwa Municipality in Limpopo Province, where prepaid meters are actually starting to become outdated, and where the reliability of the actual electricity that goes to the consumer becomes questionable. I just would like to understand that, and how do you monitor that, and how do we start looking at enforcing quality control on certain of these different prepaid meters that is around there. Some of those prepaid meters are on the block for 600 rand a prepaid meter, and consumers are paying 2,600, 2,700 rand for prepaid meters. As technology has improved, these are some of the discrepancies, and maybe you can maybe just assist me. The funding allocation from the department towards prepaid to free basic electricity, is it 200 million or is it 300 million? Do you allow for municipalities to use their own discretion on free basic electricity? Meaning, if I want to give 20 kilowatts or 50 kilowatts to do more people or more indigenous people, or if I want to increase it to 100 kilowatts, if I want to up that. There are metros that are currently, like Ekurhuleni, that are giving 100 kilowatts, and just want to have your take on that. Chair, let me allow other people to speak as well.
Thank you, David. Only one question. The presenter spoke on 132 licensed municipalities, and he also said that there is no consistency of how the policy is implemented. My question then is, are there any plans or time frames set to ensure that consistency and uniformity of the policy are implemented in all municipalities? Thank you.
Can I continue? Chair, I think the issue that we would like to address is to ensure that we have affordable electricity to the poor, but not only to the poor, to all South Africans if possible. And I think what has happened in the last couple of weeks, that we saw a reduction in the energy price, which is, I think, perhaps done by Eskom in the application to NERSA, and the price was reduced from 25.9% to about 16%, which will mean that municipalities, and that was my information from NERSA, will implement about 11% for municipalities. So it's a reduction in the price, and we have to see that reduction is implemented by municipalities. And also the free basic electricity is implemented by municipalities. And I'd like to take the debate just a bit further with your permission, what my colleague raised in terms of improving monitoring mechanisms. Because this is the issue in terms of monitoring has become very complex. If we have to implement the IBT, and it seems it's problematic, and currently municipalities are not adhering to it, it could also be very possible that they will not implement exactly the reduction in the electricity price. And that will have a negative impact on business and on all consumers. That will, in effect, have a negative impact on job creation, because business should be the main driver of employment to a certain extent, especially small business, and that's international best practice. So we have to make sure that there's an implementation of monitoring from somewhere. What I've heard from the presenter today is that they're in talks with COPPA, which is simply not good enough. We would like to know what exactly is the monitoring and from whom to municipalities to see that they at least implement the correct issues. What we have at the municipality level, and I'm glad Mr. Nietling and other people from COPPA are present, is that they don't do revenue collection in many, many municipalities. Sometimes not at all, but mostly not efficient revenue collection. And that we see that we have mismanagement of finances or because of capacity constraints. But linking to that, that came out of the presentation, is also a capacity problem by the municipalities to actually fund all their requirements. So we have to look in depth. If you look at these issues, we have to look in depth about the funding model for municipalities as well. But just to return to my concern regarding implementation, we now have also the two new acts, and the presenter spoke about the legislation that needs to come in. That's the ERA, the Electricity Regulation Act, and also the NERA, the Regulators Act. In the last one, it seems that most of the powers from the regulator, NERSA, will go to the minister in many instances, in terms of perhaps generation capacity, but also perhaps in terms of pricing. Perhaps there's enough room for the regulator still to maneuver. But the presenter mentioned the first act, which is very important, and that's the ERA Act. And the presenter mentioned that there's a conflict of interest between the different spheres of government, and there's a conflict in terms of the legislation, and it all boils down to, in this act, how they describe the definition of pricing. And that will exclude the surcharge to be over, to have an oversight from NERSA. Now, once we do this, we also give municipalities a carte blanche in terms of what they would like to implement. In terms of pricing, in terms of the, I don't know what you call it, a surcharge, or you call it a levy or an additional tax, but perhaps that's for COCTA. Also to give us an indication, when we remove this in our coming legislation, what would the effect then be, Mr. Audit, on that we do the good work at national level and that we say, yes, we have to adopt a pricing policy which is inflation-related, but suddenly it is becoming undone, and it's made undone by the municipalities implementing without the oversight of NERSA. Now, if we look at implementation, and that's the bottom line, sir, if we would like to have some oversight on municipalities, or oversight, let's say, vice versa, from bottom up or from top down to bottom up, I don't know which is top down and which is bottom up, because local government to me is the most important level of government. But certainly we have to have some oversight to see that there's proper coordination. And I don't think we're getting to this. So we have to look at this problem holistically, and I'm really very interested to hear what the presenter will say in terms of this. How can we solve this problem? By scaling down the oversight role from NERSA, we will create a lot of extra problems. Because who will do some oversight? Who will make municipalities more accountable? And then to my colleagues in COCTA, I really don't know if...
Just a moment.
Yes, I don't know if... And
COCTA,
this is my question.
Is COCTA around?
Yes, SALGA. Is it SALGA?
SALGA,
that's
yes.
The Local Government Association, yeah. I think to a certain extent, are they representing COCTA?
No.
Okay, they're SALGA. Okay, well, SALGA will then inform us in regard to how we can perhaps address these problems. And then just a last remark, and I'm sorry to take such a lot of time. The Honourable Borman has indicated regarding the cut of electricity when those accounts are not paid. And that simply is when municipalities don't pay the bulk suppliers. What we then have from ESCOM in this regard is a disconnection served on municipalities, even for paying consumers. Now, what we're trying to address is free basic electricity for the poorest of the poor. But when municipalities, let's call it, are naughty, they don't pay the bulk suppliers, they use the funds to pay salaries and all the extra perhaps that they need to do because it's a funding problem there, then suddenly they ran in arrears with ESCOM, and the whole communities are then penalized and say, we will cut your electricity. It's a notice served that we will discontinue your electricity. Then we're not even talking about free basic electricity. We're talking about all the electricity of everybody in that specific town, whether you pay or not. I think it's a huge problem, and we have to talk about it. And I think Honourable Borman is quite right to say the disconnection commitment, are they really committed to pay these, and how can we do it? Should we ring-fence them to a certain extent electricity payment? But so I'm sorry to take such a long time, but it is sort of interrelated in certain aspects. We cannot just give free basic electricity. We should give it to the poor. And suddenly the poor are also affected when people don't pay it over to the bulk suppliers and the whole of the town is perhaps cut. I don't think it's happened. Perhaps it's enforcement measurement like the Honourable Borman has indicated to ensure that people pay for their electricity. But I think we're facing more problems perhaps today than answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honourable Ross. But I would appeal that we emphasize more on issues around the FBE, because the gentleman who's here might feel uneasy to respond to areas that are outside his competency or outside his directorate. At least I'll give you that letter. But as long as they've recorded the question, and then we can refer it, whether it's to to a panel or groups or whatever for appropriate response. Honorable Faber.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My question is very close to the one that Honorable Ross also asked, but I would like to know, and this is on the collection rates on Eskom. And for instance, in the Northern Cape, where Nosterberg was almost cut off electricity in the last 2 months, I need to understand, when do Eskom decide? I mean, because if I look at the collection rates, there's a hell of a lot of money outstanding at a lot of municipalities. And how do they decide when they're cutting? Because there's a lot of, at the one municipality, perhaps it's 3 million that is outstanding, and that other one 7 million, but the one of 3 million gets cut. So I need to understand, when does Eskom decide to cut? And then the same argument as the people that do pay their electricity in those areas are also being penalized, though they are paying to the municipalities. And where we have free basic electricity, there are a lot of people that do pay after they just exceed their 50 units. So they are also being disadvantaged, even though they are in the poor areas, but they do pay a bit, which they can pay. So I would like to know, where do you draw the line to decide who gets cut, and when Eskom decides to cut which municipalities, which I don't understand, as some municipalities do owe more than others, and they don't get cut. Thank you very much.
I trust you're aware, Honourable Faber, Eskom is in the line. They'll still come and respond, but they've obviously taken note of the question. Babaslav. Okay, just move down the line.
Chair, maybe before I make a suggestion, just to get this issue much more clearer, that of the cuts, that there are two different cuts. The one cut is where the municipality owes Eskom and Eskom takes it where he eats electricity off. But the other cut, and which is what Ms. Bowman was referring to, is where an individual is owing rates and taxes, and the municipality, in getting the rates and taxes, cuts electricity for that particular house, so that this person must now come and pay everything, not only electricity. So these are the two different kinds of cuts. And Ms. Bowman was specifically referring to that one, to say, why should the municipality use electricity to punish people who are not necessarily owing electricity but owing other matters? But Chairperson, generally the presentation made by the department is a problem statement. The entire presentation is a problem statement. And it is my view that it is, Chairperson, because in every single aspect of it, it shows challenges that need to be addressed. That the department is not saying to us, this is how we have addressed it. It's putting before us to say, these are the challenges that are before them. You know, starting from capacity of municipalities to rural areas to, you can go on and on. If I should speak, Chairperson, you'll stop me. But looking at your program here, Chairperson, just up to presentations up to SALGA, I am of the opinion that, without preempting, that some of the problems we have may be answered by those presentations. Maybe we should not expect answers now, and some of the questions already asked are preempting on the presentations to be made. Why not receiving all these presentations and try to, because they're all going to speak about the same thing, and try to say, okay, on the area that was referred to by the department here, this is the answer. And then try at that time to say, after all of these presentations, what is the future? Which areas do we think are challenges? Which areas do we think we can ask for clarity? And which areas do we want to comment about either changes or in support of? That's a suggestion, Chair.
Hello, Cameron. the guilty party is the department. Had they given us their presentation, we would have made notes. Now, we're just uneasy about forgetting some of the things, but you've got a point. The department will definitely take note of that. But by the way, the department is the one that ultimately charged with the responsibility of ensuring accessibility, security of supply of energy, including electricity. Notwithstanding what these other service providers, your ESCOM, SALCA, COCTA, if it was around, NERSA, are doing. But the last point of call, the captain of the ship is the department. So, Mariana, you can also respond within that concept. If you feel that in some of the questions, the more appropriate service providers to respond are others. Whilst we're going down the line, I actually noticed, and I'm giving an apology to this meeting, that we should have invited COCTA. It's just an afterthought, because sometimes when you do things under pressure, things slip up, you know, because the moment COCTA was highlighted, you know. So, SALCA, make sure that when you're invited in future, pick up the phone and check with me that is COCTA invited as well, particularly when you know that they've got a role to play. Apologies for that. Mama Tule.
Chairperson, I think I'll also go the route that Honorable Sila went, because mine also, when I was listening and the questions that are there are not for the department to answer, because they've got their other people to back that up. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. I think we also at a disadvantage not having the presentation in front of us. I think the big problem is the implementation of this free basic electricity. And ever since we've started, so many years now, and we haven't been able to do what we intended to do. And the simple intention is to help the poor people who cannot afford. That is the driving force. But we don't seem to get there. So I'm not sure. Really, honestly, I'm not sure. Because even the IBT, the inclined thing, does not specifically help the poor. The rich benefit from it just as much, even more. So we have a real problem. And then in the rural areas, there's the quality of electricity. It is not the same as in the urban areas. It is, when you think of a storm, the lights go off. And that's not for not paying. It's for inferior equipment that is put there, which is more easily affected. So we are treated differently. The urban areas are treated in one way, and the rural areas are treated another way. Until we get to the bottom of that, I think we're not getting anywhere fast. I must, yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Lucas. Maren, over to you. But let me also once again highlight, please feel free, if there are certain questions you'd like to field to other institutions, that is fine. If there are certain questions that you feel that other directorates within the department are appropriate to respond to, we'll make sure that they are recorded and we get written responses on them. Over to you now.
Thanks, Chairperson. Perhaps if I can start with the question from Honorable Slauson, well, the comment that the presentation is posing challenges than, you know, putting proposals on the table. From where the department is coming from, is we have a policy with a certain intention that these will be the objectives of the policy. However, during the actual implementation of the policy, you pick up certain challenges or discrepancies, and the instrument that we have as a department is to firstly amend the policy, and if there is such a need, also amend some areas of the legislation. The problems are there, and I think from my perspective is that it's good that we know what the challenges are, so that then we can design instruments to address them so that we get to the objective of the policy. Hence, the intention of my presentation was to say these are the challenges that we have picked up during attempting to implement the policy. You would have noticed that there are other role players. It's not only the department. And the problems or the challenges are picked up at the implementation level. And I think that's where our focus should be. Is the policy correct, yes or no? How is this being implemented or translated to implementation? So that's my comments on the presentation that is raising more questions than providing answers. And then if I can just sequentially go through the questions that were raised. The free basic alternative energy, what the arrangement that we have is that not on all of the alternative energies that I mentioned, but on some of them, there is a financial assistance that would flow from the department to certain areas. And for example, your LP gas, that there will be a subsidy that flows from the department to the providers of that gas. The issue on the prepaid metering being higher than for the normal metering and affecting the poor, because the poor, for them to benefit from FBE, they need a prepaid. I was informed now by my colleague from NERSA that, you know, on the prepaid side, the pricing is structured slightly different. So you don't pick one point and say it's higher. We must look at the whole pricing structure. But I'm sure NERSA will talk to the details in terms of the prepaid versus the ordinary metering and why is it priced differently. Discrepancies on the census and municipality data, what are we doing about that? As I indicated, we have picked up the problem, and currently our numbers are based on the high data. We are not, you know, we're not picking up the lowest number in order to make us good. We're picking up the highest, which is the worst possible case, and that's what we are presenting. However, we do that there needs to be improvement. We can't have these data inconsistencies. Internally within the department, there is a section that is now specifically designed to focus on monitoring and verification. And we hope out of that, then we'll get to understand the data better, especially the one that comes from our implementers, because, yes, we do acknowledge that there are discrepancies. But for now, we are at a design phase, so we need to understand fully where the problem is. The disconnections, I mean, municipality is better positioned to inform us on that one, because it has nothing to do with the department's policy that they choose to cut certain households for whatever reason. It's their own legislative mandate, and they make their own decisions on how they go about cutting it. But from the policy perspective, there is no such pronouncement that you have made that certain areas must be cut off for whatever the reason. So my sense is that the municipality and ESCOM in some areas is better positioned to respond to that. And then the research on the amount of electricity consumed, how often do we do that? As I indicated, there's an MNV section that from now on, once the design is complete, they will be focusing more on those specific areas that the numbers do not make sense to us, or the numbers are being, queried from the end users that are supposed to benefit from this. Currently, we are working on research institutions that we deploy and ask them to do a revision on some of the numbers that we use. It's not only the 50 kilowatt hour. There's also a limit in terms of the size of the breaker that we install on this unit, and there's been complaints on that, that because of the small installation, you get poor quality of electricity, that the household will always be tripping, and they won't get continuous electricity. However, we are using research institutions, and they go around and collect information and provide it to the department. On the basis of that information, then we input into revising our own policies. Some of the questions I would leave to my colleagues. Perhaps if I can pick up on the issue of the legislative changes that the department is busy talking about. In our view, and we stand to the, obviously, the legislation is out there for comments and inputs in order to improve it. But in our view, we, you know, during during our engagement with all the role players, ESCOM, NERSA, and municipalities, we got a sense that some institutions had a lot of things that they could unilaterally make decisions on without proper consultations. So based on that view, which is, you know, has grown over the years, we decided that we, some certain legislative mandates needs to be removed and placed with the national department. And for that simple reason, we are not removing the independence of the regulator, because we need that for a proper industry. However, all we are saying is some decisions should be made by the national government and not necessarily by the regulator. And that's the drive behind the proposed amendments. You will be aware as well that on the generation side of things, that's where, you know, our problems, the large number of our problems are, and this is designed largely to address the generation side.
I shouldn't have even allowed you to go through that. The law, the bill is still going to come here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The question relating to ESCOM, I'm sure ESCOM is better positioned to answer to that. When do they cut off certain municipalities? I will, unless if there is any specific one that is for the department, but I would like to leave it at that for now.
All right, members, I'm sure we've taken note of everything, but DOE are very unhelpful because we still don't have your presentation up to now. ESCOM, apologies. I don't know why I jumped to NERSA. Because I'm just looking at the presentation. Can when NERSA is taking us through, can they also indicate what's the best time when they can come and update us on MIPD? We're very interested, honourable members, if you bear in mind. You know, we had our own lining, but now all of a sudden there seems to have been some pronouncements done and about reduction of electricity pricing and things. So we really would love you to come and update this committee at some stage, you know, on MIPD, you know, 3-4. Yeah. When is it? We just want to have a sense such that if need be, you can still come and just take us through the MIPD, 1 and 2, and leave it at that, or if it's imminent, just do it at the end. Yeah. Okay, over to you. I see this Pindi should have been here, but yeah, just okay as well. You'll carry the can and face this cut with us. Over to you.
Good morning to you, Chair, and the honorable members of the committee. Chair, I'd like to apologize for Ms. Pilen Zimande, the CEO. She's caught up in meetings in Joburg, in Pretoria, the African Forum for Utilities, for Utility Regulators. There's a conference in Pretoria. Chair, I would like to firstly introduce myself, Mbulelo Ncethezo. I'm the Executive Manager in the Electricity Division of NERSA. As you know, we regulate 3 industries, petroleum pipelines and pipe gas and electricity. Next to me is Mr. Charles Geldard. He is the regulatory specialist in the electricity division. So we welcome the opportunity to present on this matter, because we do believe that it is a very, very important matter in South Africa today, more especially in light of these increases that we are having, and the unemployment and poverty, general poverty in the country. So I'd like to, before I get into this, I'd like to get your permission to skip the background, because I think the department has gone over the background in the best position to do that, because that's policy. So what I'd like to get to is to the mechanism, that is where we are involved as NERSA. As the department has said, the municipalities receive funds from COCTA for the FBE, but ESCOM doesn't receive those funds. But ESCOM is also a supplier of electricity. So So what happens is this, that where Eskom is supplying electricity, they supply also FDE to their customers who happen to be the residents of that municipal area. So at the end of the day, once Eskom has done that, the municipalities who do receive the funds, they have to pay those funds over to Eskom. So what we do as a regulator, we determine the charge-out rate. That is the rate at which the municipalities will be paying Eskom for the provision of FBE. What do you have then, the second bullet point, is what Eskom takes into consideration in doing so. That is the number of customers they've supplied, over what period, and how many units they do provide. And on top of that, there's going to be commission for Eskom that they have to pay to the vending stations. So that is added to that price. And the price, the base price is the first block of the IBTs that Eskom has to pay. So it's the FPE rate plus the cost of providing the FPE to those customers. So that is the rate that we determine as NERSA. I hope that is clear, Chair. All right. This slide is basically saying what I've just said right now. This is information that we got from Eskom, and I'm sure that they will be in a position today to update that, because these figures we have from 2010, we got that from Eskom. I hope that they've got the latest ones. That is, there's 243 municipalities with which they have contracted to provide FBE, and the number of customers is 1.3 million that are getting that FBE from Eskom. The challenges that we have faced, in fact, we're not facing these. These are what we are observing, because when it comes to the FBE, we're not regulating FBE as such, but what we do, we determine the rate as I've said. The challenges that we've noticed is that there are households that are not indigent that are getting this FBE. But the policy said that FBE is for the indigent. But what you find is that there's a blanket approach, and this is that everybody in the area gets FBE. So there's no database that is targeted towards the indigent. And when this happens, we find that now there will be a shortfall in the revenues for the municipality for them to provide FBE. And when that happens, the municipalities want now to come to us to ask for higher tariffs, because they are saying we don't have enough money to provide FBE, which is caused by the fact that they are providing FBE not only to the indigent but to everybody. But what we say when they come to us with this, we say that no, FBE provision is not part of your cost. We don't take it as part of your cost, so we cannot factor it into the tariffs so that you get a higher increase. FBE is supposed to be a cross subsidy or a subsidy from the government. The other thing that we've noticed is that some municipalities, when they provide FBE, let's say it's 50 units, when people come to buy now from the first 51st unit upwards, the Munich still charge them at block one rate, which we say is not right.
Block one rate?
The IBTs. So IBTs has got block one, block two, block three, block four. And these are going higher as you consume more. So what we are saying is, once you get your FBE unit, let's say 50 units, and you come to buy the fifth from the first 51st unit upwards, that should be charged at block two rate, a higher rate. Now, because they are charging them at a block one rate, that again leads to a revenue shortfall for them, the municipalities, because they're not implementing this in the correct way. Moving on, Chair, the other challenge is multi-dwelling households, where you find that there's a household, and at the back of the household, there was a whole lot of other households in there. But the problem now is that for FBE, they will qualify, that house, that meter will qualify for 50 units. And yet there are a whole lot more people at the back of that meter. So you find that those people are disadvantaged now, because the FBE rate is targeted at the meter, it's per stand, not the number of people who are in that building. This is another problem that we have with FBE, which I think has got to be solved. I don't think we can do it ourselves. It's a problem statement, that's what I'm saying it is, and I think someone has to solve this. The last one is the budget, Chair. The budget is based, in our understanding, on the 2001 stats, which have to be revised to reflect the changes and the increases. We do believe that the fact that it's based on the 2001 stats leads to a limited amount of funds being available for FBE right now. Chair, with those, I'd like to thank you.
That was fast and sweet, but a bit punchy. Eskom. A bit punchy.
I trust and hope that Salka has picked up the issues that have been raised by NERSA, not in the form of questions, but honorable members, definitely, as Dr. Sawe said, particularly this thing of a blanket approach in FBE publication and it using 2001 stats as a basis, you know, baseline information, the multiple dwelling. I don't know what else. It would be helpful if Salka can respond and make an input on that, what their take on those challenges.
Thank you, Chairman. I think, Chair, just to convey our CE's apologies, he also couldn't be with us this morning. He had to attend SOE chairperson's meeting with the DPE minister. Chair, in terms of our presentation, in terms of our presentation, what we would like to focus on is the overview of free basic electricity, challenges experienced in implementing the program, whether the 50 units per month FBE is sufficient, and then we will move over to the experience and challenges encountered with regards to inclining block tariffs. And I see some of the previous presenters have referred to that already. Chair, I think I also want to dwell into the overview. The background has already been given. But I think just to also probably highlight that or emphasize that the policy that was implemented in 2003-2004 on free basic electricity actually prescribed an allocation of 50 kilowatts per month to be provided to all low-income households to be funded through the local government. And the obligation to identify the low-income households to receive FBE remains with the municipalities, even in places where Eskom is the direct supply of electricity. I think the challenge is FBE is funded through an equitable share, or what's called a fiscal allocation, which is actually an unconditional grant at this stage given to municipalities. So it has not been made conditional that the funds would go to FBE itself. No funding, as has been indicated, is directly provided to Eskom from national government, but that Eskom would then claim the funding from FBE from municipalities, as has been indicated. So the onus or the obligation to identify indigenous households who qualify for FBE does come from the municipalities that then give us that information. We then configure it onto our system, and then we dispense the FBE token and would then recover the funds from them. Chair, I need to emphasize, because I have seen in the previous presentations that it seems there is no alignment around the number of customers that are receiving FBE. We will collaborate with our colleagues just to make sure that we are aligned around the number. According to our records, we currently have 1.15 customers approved to receive FBE, and this was as at January 2012, with agreement signed with 243 municipalities out of the 245. We are aware of two municipalities who we have not signed agreements with specifically because they've indicated that they do not have they have not been able to identify indigents in their areas. Some of the challenges, Chair, that we have experienced in implementing the program, I think to start with, we have seen a national average of customers collecting FBE currently sitting at 76%, and in some provinces, collection rate is as low as 58% due to, amongst others, collection sites not being easily accessible to customers in remote and rural areas. But there are other challenges that have been identified, and some of them have been referred to earlier. We have also seen that in terms of regular interaction and improvement, there could be more that could be done between ourselves and regional energy forums that were set up a few years ago by COCTA, really to facilitate the discussion. And these energy forums were really to discuss all issues relating to energy, but FBE also being one of the issues to be discussed to address all the challenges. And we have found that this has not really been working very well in terms of collaboration from municipalities, because what should have happened is that meetings should have been set up at regional levels, and we have found that these have really not materialized as had intended. Also, in terms of coordination of information, and coordination and information sharing between ourselves and municipalities, we have seen that that is a great challenge in terms of also being able to evaluate the results of who qualifies, who should qualify, and so forth. We've also seen inconsistent identification of low-income households as indigent by municipalities themselves. Challenges with FBE being provided to farm workers is also one of the key areas of concern, as the farmers generally hold the contract of supply, and this needs to be addressed. On our side, as ESCOM, we have taken the initiatives to look at what could be the possible options of looking at this area. And in fact, in the Western Cape, where there was really a proactive some proactivity from the local government, that we have actually started a pilot, and we're working with our key stakeholders to make sure that we look at what municipalities could do in other regions. And that information, Chair, is available. There is a detailed work that has been done to look at how we can address this challenge. In terms of our records, Chair, as I said, an indication of FBE collection rate in ESCOM's supply areas by province, you will notice that KwaZulu-Natal is currently at the lowest at 58%, followed by Gauteng, and Western Cape indicates quite a high number of collection at 91%. What solutions had been envisaged, Chair? ESCOM has itself explored looking at mobile working centers in areas where we have found that this is a challenge. As I indicated, that we have found that in remote and rural areas, it is difficult for customers to be able to get to collect their FBE tokens. So we have actually explored that option, and we will be putting pilot areas in areas where this is specifically a problem, such as in KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and also in Limpopo. And the intention is, once we are comfortable that that's working, because it requires initial capital outlay, once this is working, then we will roll it out in all the provinces where this is a challenge. In our view, equitable share should be reviewed. It needs to be a conditional grant to ensure that the application of the FBE is working as intended. And ESCOM to provide municipalities with the FBE status reports and municipalities to discuss the results. I think that's really the intention, to make sure that the reports are available, they're evaluated and reviewed on an ongoing basis, and that we could collaborate and look at ways to improve. Municipalities to also update their indigenous registers annually and confirm correctness or the accuracy with ESCOM. We also believe that regular workshop needs to be arranged, including representatives from ESCOM municipalities and government where ideas could be shared to strengthen relationships, because we believe that this is really one of the key reasons why this has not worked very well as well. We've also suggested that there should be quarterly meetings to be held with representatives from key stakeholders, i.e. COCTA, NERSA, DOE, SAUGA, and even Department of Public Enterprises as our shareholder, to share challenges of FBE and together find solutions in terms of the way forward. And also that a joint task team would probably be important to be set up to explore mechanisms to provide FBE to farm workers. On our part, we need to make sure that we engage with the key stakeholders that are involved. And Chair, going on to whether the 50 kilowatts hour FBE per month is sufficient, there was a study that was commissioned, and this was part of the Interministerial Committee on Energy work group, particularly on protection of the poor and FBE, where the aim was really to develop a report that would address, amongst others, evaluation of the current FBE policy and identifying possible options to look at, making it more uniform and effective to reach all customers classified as indigent, and also to really determine whether the 50 units allocation in terms of the policy is sufficient as FBE. From that study, it was recommended that, in fact, the 50 kilowatt per month level is sufficient, and I will refer you to the next slide. To date, there has been no change in policy, and really ESCOM will take its guidance from national policy as to who qualifies and what should be the correct level of FBE. So the recommendations that came from the web group was that, having considered what usage levels certain appliances use and the average monthly consumption of an indigent household being between 50 kilowatts and 100 kilowatts, and in our books, for example, at this point, we have about 2 million ESCOM customers who consume up to 50 kilowatts a month, and I'll show you in the next slide. Consumers would be able to reduce their electricity consumption. This was also recommended that, you know, we need to encourage more energy efficiency used by consumers. It was therefore concluded that 50 kilowatt hour would probably be sufficient, taking into account that we need to focus more on getting as many people to move over to FBE as possible, rather than increase the level of the rate itself. So steps taken to address the challenges, a number of steps had been taken that will show that low-income households are sufficiently protected from the impact of high electricity increases. Substantially increasing the equitable share to enable municipalities to deal with increased electricity bill costs, and extending the classification criteria for indigents. In fact, the electricity component for the equitable share amounted to 8.4 billion in 2010-11 financial year, 9.6 billion in 2011-12, and 10.6 billion in the financial year 2012-13. Also, the introduction of inclining block tariff, which would ensure that low-income households in ESCOM's area of supply are cushioned against the impact of substantial price increases, and other factors impacting on low-income households not having access to electricity, such as lack of infrastructure for electrification, would need to be addressed. So in conclusion then, it was felt that the lack of properly administered indigenous registers by municipalities to capture these indigenous households would need to be addressed and resolved. General finding constraints in municipalities where FB allocation competes with other priorities, as we indicated that the fiscal allocation is unconditional, that this would have to be addressed with National Treasury and COCTA. Some municipalities and ESCOM may struggle to implement a stepped tariff approach, which is the inclining block tariff, in the short to medium term. In fact, when this was first implemented, ESCOM had to first, we couldn't apply it in the first year, as we had to configure our system to make sure that it would work. Attention should be on extending the free basic electricity to indigenous households not yet receiving FBE, rather than extending the FBE threshold to more than 50 kilowatt. And these were the conclusions of the IMCE work group. Chair, if we now then move on to the inclining block tariff, I think NERSA has probably given a snapshot of what inclining block tariff is about, and it is a mechanism where tariffs rise in stepped increases, as they said, with four blocks according to the amount of electricity used. And it's meant to benefit customers who use less electricity and thus would have to pay lowest rates, while customers who use more electricity pay an incrementally higher tariff and thus higher average rate as the electricity consumption rises. So the more you consume, the more you would have to pay. The tariff is divided, as indicated, into four consumption blocks, and each subsequent block has a higher price per kilowatt hour. And the amount payable is the sum of the consumption per block multiplied by the rate, and you also add that onto it afterwards. The selection of the blocks and the limits and the prices per unit have been set by NERSA and is required to be implemented by ESCOM and municipalities. The tariff is for both prepaid customers and those customers that are on conventional meters. And as indicated, in addition, those customers that are qualify as to receive FBE would be also in addition to the price of electricity in the first block tariff, the poor also receives an FBE. So when you receive FBE, the first block should actually exempt you from paying. And Chair, this is what, in fact, NERSA had originally approved in terms of the MYPD2. The implementation was first in terms of ESCOM applied to our billed customers on 1st of April. As I indicated, that we couldn't implement it immediately as we had to review our systems. The implementation for prepaid customers, however, was delayed to 1st of April. And as you can see, you have the first block up to 50 kilowatt hour being at certain rates, and then the next block at certain rate, which is between 50 and 350, and block 3 and 4 then over between 351 and 600, and over there at 600 at different rates. And may I just mention that these rates here include a VAT. If I can just show you how it would work, and just to caution Chair that this actually relates to 2011-12, not 2010-11. My apologies for that. So at first block, which takes up to 50 kilowatt hour, you would pay 57 cents, 57.65 kilowatt hour. So if you are receiving free basic electricity, then you would be exempted on the first block, and then you would start paying on the second block. And then second block can take up to 300 at 66.16. Third block takes up to 250 at 96, and then everything in excess of 600 kilowatt hours at 105. So essentially, if, for example, you were consuming...
From 50 to 300 to back to 250. Yeah,
650, sorry, Chair.
Hmm? Come again?
Sorry, Chair. So if say, for example, you were consuming 1,000 kilowatts, so the first 50 at 57, and then the next 300 at 660, and then the next one would be up to 600. Sorry, Chair. Yeah, not 250. Yeah. And then all in excess of 600. Yeah, so it's the remaining 250 at 96. Yeah, so between 351 and 600, which is Yeah, so between 351 up to 600, of which the remaining would be 250, is at 96. And Chair, just to mention, I think I did indicate that you then would have to add VAT on top of that to get to the total amount. Chair, this slide then indicates that with the introduction of IBT, you will notice that when IBT, as I said, in the first year, IBT was not implemented. In the second year, it was only implemented to bill customers, and we started implementing it to prepaid customers. And if I may just highlight that Eskom has got close to 4 million prepaid customers out of 4.3, I think. So if you look at 2011-12, when this was fully and first implemented correctly, you will notice that it has actually gone up. So which means that between the more you consume, so if you look at your customers that are consuming more than 350, it actually is quite expensive for them. So which is why the more you consume, the more you'd actually pay, if you look at the green bars there. And Chair, I think NERSA also touched on the unintended consequences briefly. It is successful in providing subsidized electricity for low-income households with low consumption, but we have seen a number of unintended consequences. It is a difficult structure to understand and complex, so it requires a lot of effort in terms of education and awareness to customers. The prepaid vending system, which for us preceded the IBT, we implemented the prepaid vending system around 2008, was not designed to deal with this complexity, so that's why we actually had to first reconfigure our system. The tariff has resulted in cross-subsidies with large customers, subsidizing residential customers quite significantly, more than we had anticipated. We are currently managing it as Eskom due to our large customer base. However, we believe that it may not be sustainable. However, in municipalities where they do not have enough of a large customer base, or what we refer to as large power users, you may find that it's not enough in terms of cross-subsidization. Large low-income households or single-stand households with multiple dwellings do not necessarily benefit as their consumption is very high. So where you have a single-stand with multiple dwellings or large families or large-income households, you will find that their bills are much higher, so they would not necessarily benefit from IBT. Affluent households, in our view, can afford energy-efficient technologies, thus benefiting from further lower consumptions. And as indicated, not all municipalities have implemented IBT due to their challenges, so there has been inconsistencies in application. Chair, this is an example of a customer who is on prepaid and is on IBT. Just to indicate to you that you will notice if we look at the transactions for June, and this is a real bill, you will notice that on the 2nd of June, a customer buys for 120 rands, receives 165 units, and then 2 days later they buy for 20 rands, and then they buy again for 120. So they've really now bought for 260, and when they go into this bracket here, where now it actually goes into the 380. So if you accumulate 120 to 380, you will notice that for 120 rands, they only receive 109, and this is only 10 days later or 11 days later, whereas initially they paid 120 for 165 units. And these are the unintended consequences that we are talking about. Just to indicate, Chair, that most of the customers, however, that we have, a lot of them consume between 0 and 350, with about 2 million customers, as I indicated earlier, consuming up to 50 kilowatt hour, and most of these customers are in the Limpopo area. Chair, we thought we would also just give you an indication of the IBT subsidies and its implication now with the revised tariff from increase from a 25% increase to a 16% increase that would be implemented. So you will notice that, and in fact, maybe let me just highlight that in terms of Block 1, 2, 3, and 4, on the 25% increase, the first two blocks are 5.5% and 13.5%. That's the increase they are seeing. And then, obviously, this would have been the 25% increase. But with the revised tariff, these two blocks, in fact, because of the lower bracket, remain the same. However, these ones would see a 16% increase. However, the average IBT tariff as a result would be 11.6% from what originally would have been a 15% in increase. What this means for the subsidies is that you would actually see a reduction of 810 million. So had the increase remained at 25%, the subsidy from IBT would have been 3.6 billion, Chair. It is now reduced to 2.8 billion. In fact, Chair, this should actually read the increase year on year on IBT is actually 490. So you still see an increase in IBT, however, much lower than had it been a 25% in increase. And the subsidy would therefore reduce by 810 million. So in terms of the way forward, NERSA had published a consultation paper on IBT in October 2011 on which ESCOM provided some comments. We said that we do support that low-income households must be protected against high price increases, but propose that this be done through a national subsidy framework to ensure the consistency of application between all distributors. The mechanism for funding of subsidies should be investigated, as not all distributors can provide subsidies equitably through electricity tariffs alone. NERSA, we believe, should develop a national residential tariff guideline that provides a framework to be used consistently for residential tariff structure and design, and that all distributors should be entitled to develop their tariffs in line with the guideline itself, so that it is not a one-size-fits-all. We need to take all customers' needs into account. And that IBT, we believe, that should be revisited as a tariff option and in compliance with the Department of Energy's electricity pricing policy. ESCOM has proposed an alternative option. And what we propose, Chair, is that we should really move to single energy charges, firstly starting with the home light. Those are on home light, or rather on 20 amps, who are low consumers, that we should have a low-subsidized single energy charge for them that would be in compliance to the electricity pricing policy, and that those that are consuming slightly higher at 60 amps and 80 amps should also have a higher but less subsidizing single energy tariff. So they would pay slightly higher than those that are on the home light 20 amps. And this would cater also for multiple homes on one stand. And in terms of the home power, those that are really consuming higher or on three-phase meters should actually be charged a fixed charge, which would be based on the supply size and a single energy charge, so that they also contribute to network assets as well. And this is what we have proposed to get in conjunction with COPTA, and we believe that the process is taking its course with NERSA. So in conclusion, Chair, there are challenges with FBE. Consistency of approach in application is very important. We believe that unconditional equity share grants with FBE competing against other priorities is an issue of concern, and the program is to be easily accessible to customers in rural and remote areas, and ESCOM is working on that, as I said. In terms of the FBE threshold itself, based on policy and research done, it was concluded that the 50 kilowatt hour per month is adequate. However, more needs to be done to ensure that it is easily accessible and that we identify all customers that really should qualify for it. And then in terms of the challenges with IBT, it does protect low-income households, but it is complex, difficult to understand and implement. IBT is not implemented equitably in ESCOM and municipal areas, and as ESCOM, we have proposed, as I said, that it be revisited. And Chair, we recognize that there are challenges, but as ESCOM, we are committed to support government initiatives to find solutions for a way forward. Thank you.
On a lighter note, we have no choice but to support. Not that you do it by choice. You just have to do it because they're a government entity. As we move towards the comfort break, I hope Salka has picked up a couple of things which would be very interested to see how they tackle it. One of them is that one municipality has not been able to compile data on the indigent. I think that's what was said. The issue of the regional energy forums, coordinating and sharing of information, the whole issue around data, the quarterly meetings, the ease of registers and the competing priorities. Honourable members, this has been coming up time and again. I'm not saying I'm asking questions, it's just a reference to Salka to share that. And the issue of any education or awareness programs on the IBT. Can you take a 5-minute comfort break whilst the other three presenters are preparing? Unfortunately, it will have to be 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. What did you make of
Good people, can you settle? One of the things I forgot to keep on reminding is an attachment to the agenda. Each and every presenter, there were specific areas that wanted them to highlight. FFC, you are unlucky because I just paged and realized that those are some of the things that I would like to ensure. Not that those who have already presented are off the hook. As you can sense that the presentations today have triggered, you know, and opened cans of worms, not just one. We definitely will pick this matter up even in future. FFC. Finance and Fiscal Commission.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, honorable members, for the opportunity to speak to you on the matters that are being discussed here. I must say, Chairperson, the way in which we prepared our presentation was in line with what you had requested. So there are four key areas that you asked us to look at. Maybe first of all, let me introduce myself. I'm Bongani Khumalo. I'm the acting chairperson of the Financial and Fiscal Commission and also its chief executive officer, accompanied by Dr. Mkululi Ncube, who actually heads the local government budgets section of the Financial and Fiscal Commission at the Secretariat. We have four broad areas that we needed to provide the Commission's views on. And I think, as you would understand, the primary role of the Commission is really not around policy issues. The discussions that have taken place here are really grounded on challenges that are faced with respect to the performance of a function that municipalities primarily have assigned to them by government. Now, from the Commission's perspective, it's to ensure that municipalities have sufficient resources to be able to perform that function in terms or in accordance with the national policy objectives, and part of which here relates to a very critical issue in as far as the Commission is concerned, that's the issue of free basic services and specifically free basic electricity. Now, in terms of the way in which we have approached it, we, as I've indicated, are not the, our primary focus is not around this policy issue. So what we did was to speak to the key stakeholders around this or the key role players and obtain some information around these issues. And we put together a presentation which we'll then speak to here on the basis of the information obtained. And I'm sure we already picked up from the earlier presentations the paucity of data around this issue. So it becomes quite critical that when people present numbers here, those numbers must be looked at in the context of the presentations that we've already looked at in the morning. Let me also just, as an opening remark as well, emphasize one point, maybe one or two points here. There's an issue that relates to the funding arrangement. And that funding arrangement basically is the equitable share funding versus the conditional grant funding. Categorically, we would like to say that from where the Commission sits, the equitable share is meant to assist or provide municipalities and provinces and indeed national government with resources sufficient for them to carry out their specific constitutionally assigned mandates. In respect of free basic electricity, it's a mandate of municipalities. There's a national norm that must actually be funded. And in order to be able to deal with that, one has to look at a variety of issues that are at play. There is one of the allocation of resources vertically between the three spheres of government, and then there's the allocation across the municipalities. And then further to that, it's the allocation for free basic services in the budget of a municipality. Those are the issues that need critical monitoring by legislatures from national to province, because this is a concurrent function all the way to the level of the council. So I think we need to emphasize that as a commission, we are not very fond of supporting conditional grants for dealing with issues that are very clearly assigned in terms of the constitution. There are areas where you need redress, for example, the rollout of basic infrastructure to enable people to access the electricity, the basic service. Those are issues that are dealt with separately through the conditional grants, and we would support those kinds of issues where conditional grants, where we are dealing with backlogs, for example, in the provision of the infrastructure. But generally, we would basically like to see it in the equitable share and being monitored by the relevant arms of government in order to ensure that there is no movement of money from one area to another area at the expense of free basic electricity or any other service for that matter. Let me, with those few words, Chairperson, ask Dr. Ngube to take you through the presentation of the Commission that focuses specifically on the issues that you requested. Thank you.
Thank you. The outline of my presentation will be that one up there, and specifically we are focusing on the issues of access, financing of FEP, free basic electricity, the implementation, the issue of cross subsidies, and the question is 50 kilowatts an hour sufficient, and finally our views on the block tariffs which have been discussed in the morning. So to start with, South Africa has pro-poor electricity policies and strategies, and this is suggested, especially in connection to the electrification of low-income areas and rural regions in particular, and the notion of universal electrification as a national goal. And we have noted that FBE has improved the livelihoods of the poor, especially in accessing energy, which is a critical necessity of life. And also FBE has particular incidence on women and children. That's very, very important that it can free their labor into other areas. Then with FBE expenditure on energy, we see that expenditure on energy went down and some of the incomes were freed for other services, which is a good thing for poverty, especially for the vulnerable. And also environmentally unfriendly fuel alternatives have been abandoned for cleaner electricity, thus as a way of introduction. Then if we look at the implementation of FBE and free basic alternative energies, we see that the problem is in rural municipalities, whereby out of those 70, if you look at the last but one row there, out of 70 municipalities, only 58 have that particular policy, and 56 are actually implementing that particular policy, free basic electricity implementation. They are implementing that. So there is a gap there, but in other areas, the gaps are minimal. Then access to energy, again, let me highlight the rural component, the rural municipalities, that access is only about 65%. And if you look at the other alternative energies, those are the ones which are also taking a bigger chunk in rural areas. Then in terms of consumer units receiving electricity, we see that those receiving electricity in general are on the increase.
What's a consumer unit?
These are households consuming who are receiving electricity. We see that there is an increase there, but when it comes to free basic electricity, we saw that there was an increase earlier on, but it went down, and would speculate that it could be proper targeting. That's why for free basic electricity, we want to believe that it is proper targeting. That's why there was a dip there. But it is coming up again. So that's about access. Then something which was discussed this morning, free basic electricity coverage against indigent registered people. We see again the problem is in rural areas, whereby the blue bar there shows the total indigent populations in rural areas. Then out of that, if you look at the rural component, only 43% of the indigent population are actually benefiting from that particular program. The rest are not benefiting. So the problem is in the rural areas there, and to a certain extent, large towns. Then that particular picture simply shows municipalities which are accessing other alternative energies. That is for 2010, find a quite variety of other energies there. Then funding, which was discussed this morning, we see that.
Before you move fast, what is fire gel?
Yeah. Fire gel, we thought of is as maybe the department. It's a fuel which is used for. Yeah. It's a form of fuel.
I don't know it. Okay.
It's used sometimes in brides, and so it's yeah. It's a safer and very clean form of fuel.
Thank you. Okay.
Mm. Yeah. That. Then on the LES, the equitable share, where those figures for 2010-11, we see that in terms of funding from the LES, we have the total third column there, the total electricity allocation from the LES, finding rural municipalities 57% of the LES goes to electricity. And out of that 57%, 68% is for free basic electricity, and the remainder, 23%, is for free basic alternatives. So that is the 8.4 billion which was spoken about this particular morning. If you divide it, 38% from the LES is for electricity, 7% free basic electricity, and the remainder for other alternatives.
Let's make a deal. We don't like acronyms in this committee. We revolt against acronyms in this committee.
Okay. The LES, local government equitable share, for that one. Then implementation of free basic electricity and free basic alternative electricity. Basically, there are four methods used to implement the free basic electricity. We have one, the targeted approach, whereby indigents are used to target. If you can identify that particular population, you target that particular population directly. Then the broad-based approach, the use of stepped block tariffs. Then the technical approach, which we use prepaid meters. Then the geographic approach, where you only target the poorer areas, then implement the program to those particular areas. Then our research suggests all these methods have different impacts on municipal expenditures and their revenues. But the targeted approach would be ideal. That is, if our indigent registers are good, have the right information, but as of now, the information on our indigent registers in many municipalities is not that good to implement that particular program, for that particular program to be the best. But ideally, it could target the poor. Then the other one is the prepaid metering, which is, we think, is very efficient from an economic point of view, as it ensures efficient expenditure of resources. There is no resource wastage. It ensures better debt recovery and revenue-raising efficiencies. But the problem with that one is on the social side of it, that there are some people who can self-eliminate themselves from that particular program, in the sense that you can actually decide to do away with it if you cannot afford that particular price. So the problem is of self-elimination there, especially for the poor. Then that's how the different approaches are used there. See, the last one, the targeting approach, many municipalities are applying that one compared to the others. 172 are applying that one. Then the other issue which was asked was,
just before you go, that do you have any information about the impact of each of these approaches
on the, not really, but here is just, we can work on that particular information, but here we are simply providing how they are being used. We can work on that one. Then the other issue which the committee wanted us to look at is the issue of cross-subsidies, or the issue of subsidies in general. We have inter- and intra-cross-subsidization as far as electricity is concerned, and we note that many municipalities make surpluses from electricity. You are going to see in the next graph the surpluses which are generated from electricity, and these surpluses are used to cross-subsidize other services, inter-service cross-subsidization. But within the electricity itself, we see that poor consumers are being subsidized by the well-to-do ones, as we are going to see in the graphs I'm going to show. Then also in terms of prices, we have what we call price subsidization, that price increases, which is another indicator of cross-subsidization. There are high price increases for well-to-do or high-income groups compared to poor, which there is a ceiling of 15%. Now let me show the issue of subsidization. First one is on electricity surpluses. If you look at metros there, those are electricity surpluses or surpluses they generate from electricity, which are very high and they are increasing, followed by category B municipalities and to a certain degree secondary cities. But as you go down, the surpluses are very small. And these are surpluses which are used to subsidize other services or which are used to subsidize other consumers, low-income consumers. Then further to that, we see from that particular picture price subsidies, that the red one there, these are price increases to other consumers, while it's the green one there is price increases to poor consumers. Then the grayish brownish there is the total effective cost increase, that is electricity cost, the way they are increasing there. You can see that if you look at the prices, the red one there, for high income consumers, they are increasing. The increases are very high. Then these are the prices which are used to subsidize low income consumers. And as you can see, that they can cover the cost of providing that particular service. And they are used to, so there is, the price is used here to subsidize other consumers. Then this one is on administered prices. We compare the way the local equitable share has been local government equitable share has been increasing compared to the administered prices. We see that the local equitable share, the increase has been very low compared to the prices. And that gap there is the one which is really catered for by high income customers who are covering that particular gap. The local equitable share is not really covering those particular increases in prices, but the other is the subsidy which comes from high income consumers. So again, it illustrates the issue of cross-subsidization between consumers. Then the last question was, is the 50 kilowatt sufficient? I think you heard this morning, I think we don't want, we may add another controversy there. It's a controversial issue, but because research is pointing to different directions. There are some research, as has been indicated in the morning, that we say, no, this figure is sufficient. But also there is some research which shows that this figure is insufficient. So I think it calls for further research into that area to find out whether it's really sufficient or not. Because we look at some of the studies which really say free basic electricity should cover basic lighting, small black and white TV, small radio, basic ironing, boiling of water using that. And if you add, in particular, this particular study at Life, which tried to quantify that, we find that four light bulbs of 60 watts used for 4 hours a day for a month, it will consume about 20 kilowatts. An electric stove that is used for that will actually consume 42 kilowatts. Boiling a kettle at least 30 minutes a day for a month, 21 kilowatts. And if you add this, you find that it exceeds that 50 kilowatts. So it shows that from another angle, the 50 kilowatts per hour could be insufficient, yet other studies could point out. So it requires some further interrogation and investigation on that one. So, But nonetheless, we point out that there are some municipalities which are actually providing more than the 50 kilowatts already. The next graph shows that one. If you look at metros, for example, these figures, let me indicate that we didn't include the two new metros. We have six there. Out of the six metros, four are actually providing more than the 50 kilowatts, while the other two are providing that amount. In smaller towns, that's where we
Which one?
Okay, the ones which are providing. Oh, I have the figure. I have the names there. I'll try and provide the names of those ones. Then on smaller towns, you find that that's where they are sticking to that one. There are very few who are providing who are providing above the 50 kilowatts. So there is, but as the commission, we really recommend that, or we must emphasize that there are a lot of efficiency gains which could be gained from all this. There are a lot of inefficiencies, especially in the distribution, which if we gain from that, we try to be efficient, we can gain a lot of electricity which could be then distributed back into the system. If you look at that particular figure there, it's very telling in that if you look at Emalahleni, for example, you find that it has consistently been inefficient. There are so many inefficiencies there in terms of electricity theft, in terms of other losses there. And we have a figure, or that particular graph, the red line there, which shows the international acceptable benchmark, that above that really are considered as being inefficient. But there are some losses which are internationally acceptable, but there are some which are not. So we have that particular, you see that many municipalities are above that, which means that there are some inefficiencies in the system, and there could be some gains if many of these municipalities are efficient. Then our views on block tariffs.
Chair, just for a point of order, please, ma'am. Chair,
yes.
Just on that slide, because if the presenter is talking about inefficiency on those various columns, I do understand he talks about cities, but I think it's got to be more specific to what are we talking about inefficiencies, because there are various ways of inefficiencies, and maybe just for us for here today, we need to understand what are you see talking about inefficiencies.
Should I? Okay. Yeah. Inefficiencies here, there are some. We have technical inefficiencies whereby it's acceptable that there must be some electricity which is lost within the distribution. But there's some electricity which is lost prior due to illegal connections, to theft, etc. And these are some of the inefficiencies. If you look at Emalahleni, there's a lot of electricity which is lost in that particular way. Then on our views on block tariffs, yes, block tariffs have been defined in the morning what they are. And on one hand, there are some advantages of it, because it decreases unnecessary electricity consumption, it induces savings, efficient use of electricity and proper conservation. It also induces some substitution towards other efficient energy alternatives, which are good aspects, cleaner energies, solar, for example. But it may also penalize the poor households, especially those with large families. It may actually be a penalty to them. Then, in conclusion, the Commission notes that FBE is critical for people's livelihoods, and free basic electricity requires proper targeting. And we also note that electricity must be provided efficiently, and we should minimize electricity leakages, losses, or for example, unaccounted for electricity, elimination of illegal connections, and energy savings by households and industry. We should also institute adequate repairs and maintenance to the electricity infrastructure. We could save a lot from that. And lastly, we reiterate our recommendation on compact cities, which we met last year, that we should move in that particular direction and energy savings in a compact city compared to a sprawling urban form are very good. Then 22% less carbon emissions resulting from more efficient public transport and less traveling. So we want to reiterate those particular recommendations in conclusion. Thank you.
Salga. By the way, Salga is coming. Honorable members, the portfolio committees that were invited here were number one, women, children, and persons with disabilities, number two, social development, number three, human settlement. In terms of select committees, it was social services, public service, and economic development. We felt that they deserve to be exposed to it, more so in a collective manner. Okay. Honorable members, can you then settle then? We get from the Makulu bus, Salga.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Initially, I have to say that at least I'm smiling this morning, especially if I look at my friends from Eskom, and especially if I look at their slide number 18, and I wrote down here, it says it all. And that is to me impressive, because at least from Salga's side, we and Eskom are starting to sit around the table and we talk. And I hope for the future that NERSA will do the same. Because we're sitting with the experts around the table, experts like the person on my right-hand side, and I'll introduce him now. Unfortunately, we need to talk. We're from Salga's side, we're on the ground. We are at the level of where the people are, where the problem is, and we know how to implement. Unfortunately, if tariffs are being structured and we can't implement them, then we've got problems. And we hope that in the future that we at least can talk and sit around the table and really put forward tariffs along with everyone that we can implement. But, Mr. Chair, I'm not going to carry on with that. I would like to introduce to you today Sandile. And every time the name Etukweni came up, you can see he's smiling here. Because he is the head of electricity for the procurement and infrastructure unit at the Etukweni municipality. And we use him as our expert on our energy side. And I would like to give over to him to do the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wouldn't like to see myself as an expert, but I like to see myself as a practitioner in the electricity distribution unit and yes, or industry. And yes, we as the AMEU are always happy, or in fact, we have an obligation to support Salga on the electricity matters. And before I continue, let me thank the chairperson, the honorable members of the committee, and the colleagues from the industry. I've been listening at all the presentation, chairperson, and those presentations, We could have had one presentation and all of us talk to the same presentation. Because if you look at the SALGA presentation, there's not much difference between the two, or between all of them.
Wait until National Treasury comes in.
That is fine, Chairperson. For me, I think what I did, I looked at this request from the Energy Portfolio Committee, and I said it came at the right time, a week after we had an electrification in Durban, which was held again in Durban. And it was looking at the progress made in terms of the electrification. And as we have been requested, the SALGA is then to look at the update on implementation of national indigenous policy in respect of electricity, of basic electricity, basic services and support tariff, an overview of effectiveness of the national indigenous policy, and also the sufficiency of the 50 kilowatt hours. Needless to say that we based it on the free basic electricity policy of 2003, which all.
Too many documents. Point taken. Okay.
I was afraid that I was going to get a reprimand.
No, sir.
And then we also then spoke of the free basic alternative energies, and all of the past presenters have spoken to this chairperson, and I wouldn't like to waste the meeting's time going through the very same thing. As I indicated, there are many commonalities in the presentation, and
but still, even there, I'm looking at what we sent you. What we expected, still would like to know from SALGA's experience,
yes,
on the implementation of the National Indigent Policy or Indigent Policy vis-a-vis, you know, the what we are doing today, and the overview of its effectiveness.
Yes.
I hope you'll cover this from SALGA's perspective.
I will cover it, Chairperson.
Thank you, Marcos.
I was just skimming through what is common to all the presentation, which is based on the policy and legal environment. When we look at the implementation in terms of the municipal environment, we have both the suppliers being Eskom and also being the municipalities, and both of them have got the areas of grid, and then the non-grid is done by the department through its non-grid policy, Chairperson. And when you look at it, we say the challenge is always experienced in terms of getting municipal information is that there is no formal repository of information relating to the implementation of free basic electricity and the number of customers receiving free basic electricity within the municipalities. The information presented is the one that was presented that the AMEU members responded to at the call after we had received the request to talk to this. Suffice to say, Chairperson, that our mother department, COCTA, that is the one that provides the equitable share funding for this, are the ones that should then be having this information. And when I worked through our COCTA offices in KwaZulu-Natal, there was an indication that there wasn't an available national database for that, and they are still working on it. So, Chairperson, so what we then have is what we have got, but I'm going to show in terms of the hyperlinks, the municipal performance and also the ESCOM performance. When we then look at the municipal performance, Chairperson, I know that when you put the hyperlinks, the text is not going to be to be that clear. But I will then take the examples that I have got here. If we look at Cape Town, Cape Town is providing 50 kilowatt hours per month for those customers using 450 kilowatt hours, and including the 50 watt hours in terms of the non-grid. The challenges that Cape Town provided for us was that also the resellers have got to provide the free basic electricity to indigents. But then they are saying that due to NERSA artificially limiting the increases in the subsidized lifeline tariff over recent years, whereas the normal domestic tariffs have increased at 20% to 35% over the same period, the resellers have to firstly stop the issuing of the free basic electricity to the end users and subsequently charge a normal domestic tariff instead of their lifeline tariff as required in terms of the electricity bylaw. To remain in business, some withdrew from the reselling business, leaving the body corporate with the same dilemma. And they then referred to the energy efficiency program. And they're saying that there has been many drives to save energy by rolling out the combat fluorescent lights and solar water heaters. All these programs have reduced the revenue of the municipalities. And they are saying that if solar water heaters are installed in large scale, the lower consumption level of those largely middle-income homes will put them into consumption bands, where they should be eligible to receive free basic electricity. This will add to the free basic electricity bill for the municipalities, and tariffs will have to be adjusted upwards to compensate for the loss. And what then they say as a comment is that different target levels are to ensure equity in the total cost of electricity to the cities and ESCOM customers receiving free basic electricity. It's similar up to monthly consumption of 450 kilowatts. ESCOM electricity tariffs for these categories of customers being lower than that of the city. At the 21 February 2012 Minister of Energy stated that there is a need to decouple municipal electricity revenues from energy efficiency initiatives to create an incentive for local government to implement a power saving scheme. She said that there is currently a reluctance to pursue large-scale energy efficient programs as these are perceived to be a threat to power-related revenue security. That was the comment that we received from Cape Town. If then we go to the next municipality, which is the Ekurhuleni Metro. Ekurhuleni Metro is providing providing 100 kilowatt hours per month to the indigent, and they are using the blanket approach to targeting. What their comment is in terms of their targeting is that it's expensive in conjunction with low monetary values of IPT. it is not in line with the national policy, because the national policy talks to the provision to the indigents, not to everybody. The blanket approach means that affluent households also receive a free basic electricity. Paying ESCOM to the same in our areas or to do the same in our areas that are supplied by them. And what they are then saying as a comment is that the Ekurhuleni municipality intends removing the blanket allocation of free basic electricity and providing it only 50 units per month to registered indigent customers as from 1 July 2012. They are saying that they also intend matching ESCOM IBT level cent for cent, but with the addition of the IBT that's inclining block tariff block 5 to prevent migration from another residential tariff implementation or implementing the IBT, but targeting the higher end users. Chairperson, I acknowledge that to print the attachment that provide the hyperlink, we were going to be environmentally friendly. I would humbly ask if the presentations can be sent to the members electronically so that they can then be able to go through the hyperlinks. And also it will then, but I think the people that gave us comprehensive comments were these two that were given. Tswane is providing also 100 units per month per household that is registered as indigent. And they are saying that they've got 30,551 beneficiaries. And the comments that they are making is that, or challenges is that they encounter areas within Tswane which are supplied by ESCOM, but they are being addressed. The challenges that some of the people are not receiving the free basic electricity. I am sure it's not just energy. City of Joburg, we didn't get any information from them. And then Buffalo City provides 50 units, and they are saying that their challenges is that people are complaining that 50 units is too low. They say they also found that customers are now expecting more electricity, and instead of buying more, they bypass the meters and then get more free electricity. To try and counter this, the Buffalo City Municipality have introduced an indigent tariff. In fact, I think NERSA always limit also the increase to indigents in terms of the tariff structure. I'm not too sure if they have noticed with the Buffalo City tariff structure before that it didn't have the category of the indigent. Then, Chairperson, we have the next municipality, which is Drakenstein Municipality next door. Yeah, they are providing 100 units for indigent customers, and those customers use 150 units for unemployed and also for unemployed customers. Sanin provides 50 units, and their challenge is non-collection of tokens for the configured beneficiaries. The configured beneficiaries, Chairperson, in terms of ESCOM's provision as well, Chairperson, is that those people that have been identified as the people that should collect the free basic electricity tokens. Bergrivier Municipality, 50, and Endumeni Municipality, 50, Swart
upland municipality, 50 to indigents only, I think earning 2,500 per month income per household. And Umlala's municipality in KZN is 50. Their challenge is non-availability of accurate records for more, or more particularly with rural customers, registration and budget estimates for the following financial year. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I've got to go to, through these municipalities one by one. Okay.
No, necessarily. Give us the highlights.
Okay. Then for me...
But tell us times why there's no indigent, like South London, Minfal, such kind of highlights as we move along.
Yeah, Chairperson, like we indicated earlier on that the monitoring of the performance in indigent hasn't been on SALGA's plate. It has been on the COGTA plate. But SALGA has decided to do the municipal performance barometers, and they are now starting to take the statistics on all the areas where municipalities have to provide the services in terms of the constitutional mandate, as FFSC has indicated. Chairperson, I'm using FFC as an acronym because they have been there. I understand the chairperson's view on acronyms. So, chairperson, we as SALGA are promising...
Just a moment.
I might have missed it, but I can't see Itikweni at all, and it's one of the major... Is that on your list?
Okay, chairperson, I can... with Itikweni, I don't need to have anything written. I will talk to it. Chairperson, Itikweni is providing technically 65 kilowatt hours that the customers get on a monthly basis. But having said that, the extra 15 kilowatt hours in 2007 when NERSA provided approval, tariff approvals, and they provided it very late. And the system had already been configured. So what then Itikweni decided was that they were not going to drop the configuration, but they were going to add 15 units more. So those 15 units are already catered for in the tariff, just for NERSA's consumption that the customers are not subsidizing the extra 15, but it's already in the tariff, and it was due to the fact that the approval was provided late and the systems had already been configured, and it was then difficult to deconfigure it after it has been done, because we would then be non-compliant as a municipality if we did so. Itikweni is then having an average of 65,000 customers that are that are benefiting from a free basic electricity. We do not have non-grid electricity concessionary area, chairperson. And from the ESCOM perspective, we also are providing or are paying for 50 kilowatt hours per month based on the invoice that we get from ESCOM. If I borrow from ESCOM's terminology, the configured customers, what we do as the Itikweni, we automatically target the customers that are using 150 kilowatt hours and less for a year as the beneficiaries for the free basic electricity. But having said that, that is also based on the geographic area, and I noted the presentation from the FFC that there has got to be the geographical geographical targeting as well, because if you look at all these coastal areas, we have holiday homes that are owned by the rich, and if we then extended the same, we would then be subsidizing the rich. So we have taken out the rich areas from the block that would be targeted with people using 150 units per month and less. That is the Etegwini chairperson. The challenges that we have in Etegwini is the 2,000 that are not collecting, and the suspicion is that those people are the people that are stealing, because it's then easier for them not to come and claim, because they are then getting it for free. And the other one is that it's the people that have got the illegal meters, and they do not want to come and identify themselves. But we are working on a system where those that do not come and buy will then be automatically cancelled in the system, and then we'll block those meters. So we will do that. And as the as our principal has indicated, we are actually actively managing the non-technical losses, and our losses combined is ranging between 5.2 and 5.8%, which is within the international norm of 6%. Chairperson, if I then move from the municipalities that are providing or that provided us the information, and I must emphasize, Chairperson, that to get the to get information from municipalities, we need to get more time, because there are many of them, and the capacity of the municipalities to provide the information is very limited. And we welcome also the resolution from ESCOM to have the workshops where all the municipalities are workshopped in terms of the provision of the free basic electricity and the challenges that are encountered.
I beg for you to finish, because there's what is called ICT. You can sit in one place and get information of all the municipalities. So it can also, in African, from Vatkhanan. Sorry. I can't take that, I'm sorry. Please, correct me, member. I mean, ICT is one of the most brilliant things human beings have ever developed. Yeah. Every municipality can fit into one server. And there's a software, I don't care which, whatever name, that can mold and bring that to one and reflect this is the amount of electricity that's consumed on FPE lines, this and that, this and that.
You are right, Chair.
It can't wait for the regional energy forums or consultations and all of that.
Chairperson, as we indicated, as SALCA, we acknowledge and agree with the chairperson. And as SALCA, we are an association that have got to monitor the performance of the municipalities, but there are also areas where the information should be residing. And if, because we realize that our mother department, COCTA, has not done it, as SALCA, in terms of the performance barometers of the municipalities, we are going to start doing that. We apologize, Chairperson, for not thinking about that earlier, but I have...
You don't have an ICT unit in SALCA. You don't have brains that plan ahead in advance, that design, that monitor. You don't have that?
Chairperson, like we indicated, there are times when you then say, when you then realize that you are not getting something, and if you are not, then you've got to do it yourself. And we are saying as SALCA that we are going to start doing that ourselves, and we are going to do that. Next time, Chairperson, you talk to us, that will be in place. Chairperson, we have had the chairperson, and we are taking the criticism as a positive criticism, and we'll deal with it, Chairperson. the next one, chairperson, is the one that ESCOM is the service provider within the municipalities. And yes, chairperson, I think the information that we have got from the presenters before is very much in line with the information that we got from ESCOM. And the information that I have was kindly given to us by Ubaba Usokop from ESCOM, and it is 100% in line with the information that was given by ESCOM and other presenters that have done so before chairperson. And with the concurrence from the chairperson, may I then skip that. And but I think the only other thing that I didn't see being presented was this type of challenges that ESCOM had faced, which was just an indication of the problems. As we can see, they are talking about the gold city use in Northwest, and that the region is in the process of changing the SGC. I apologize, chairperson. The acronym used by ESCOM, I cannot explain. So the chairperson will we will
please ESCOM.
Yeah, and then they are also talking about the OLV system being on and off most of the time. Northwestern region is busy resolving the problem. Again, in the Northwest, challenges of stationary issue over the 3 months in the Northern Cape resulted in customers not buying or collecting the free basic electricity tokens. And again, they are the Northwest region using EasyPay Easing resolve the problem later in December 2011. Eastern Cape, the deconfiguration of the customers have impacted the consumption. The Eastern region will, why did I say Eastern Cape? Eastern region, that is in KZN, chairperson. Eastern region is still waiting for the list of new customers from the municipalities. Whereas in the central region, city of Johannesburg has contributed to the drop as the manual the configuration process has not been completed. Lastly, the central region, city of Joburg, that had a lot of areas that needed to be cleaned up. That was the information, chairperson, that we got from ESCOM. In terms of non-grid, I had a talk to the department representative dealing with the non-grid, and the energy of or the Department of Energy, as I indicated, contracted a number of service providers deploying solar home units with the concessionary areas. The two documents provided the information on these areas and the challenges experienced by FBE. But when you look at those two documents, chairperson, they then talk to they talk to the areas where solar home systems are provided, and those areas the service providers that are using it, chairperson, are Solar Vision, Elita Cooperative, KwaZulu Natal Energy Services, Neon Raps, and it's those. But to summarize, chairperson, the challenges that the department have and the service providers have is that some municipalities are not providing the free basic electricity for this system and their maintenance. And also the challenge that I realized was that for for the same size of the system. There are many service providers charge different service fees per month. But what seemed to happen is that those municipalities that are subsidizing to the level of 40 rands per month. So for me, the solution to the problem is that we then have the service providers standardize the systems, which are standardized at 50 watt peak power, and also they must standardize the service fees that they are charging, so that there will be equity in terms of what municipality, the portion that is paid by the municipality and the portion that is paid by the customer getting the same service. And also, Chairperson, I think there has got to be a capacitation on the part of municipality to understand this issue of free basic electricity and subsidizing of the solar home system units. And in general, in terms of the free basic electricity, it is believed that not all municipalities have the capacity to manage and monitor free basic electricity, and therefore there has got to be capacitation of the municipality. I think the metros do not have a problem. The medium municipalities do not have a problem. But I think the problem is with smaller municipalities. The other issue, Chairperson, is the deployment of the electrification projects. In terms of the deployment of electrification projects, some of the municipalities are not performing at the required level in terms of electrification and utilizing the funds from the Department of Energy. And therefore, without rolling those projects out, then they are depriving the poor that would have benefited from getting the free basic electricity. But as SALGA through the AMEU, we then address the municipalities and in terms of ensuring that they deliver on these services. And at the NEAC, Chairperson, where I also represent SALGA, I have called for the list of the poor performing municipalities in terms of deploying the electrification programs, so that together with SALGA we can devise a strategy of assisting them. So that is already in place, Chairperson. If I continue from the department, the non-grid, I think the second document, Chairperson, was just a plea from the person that is managing the non-grid for the portfolio committee on energy to influence the municipalities to please support the subsidizing of the solar home system, because if they don't, then the projects then are abandoned and people do not then get the necessary support for the use of the free basic electricity. When we look at the issues for consideration, Chairperson, is that without energy, poor households are unable to access basic necessities that include cooking, heating, studying, lighting, and communication. And we are saying that the government has acknowledged the relationship between having energy and alleviating poverty, which led to the development of free basic electricity. And the data that we have obtained is from the analysis is that the 50 kilowatt hours per month is sufficient. But as we have indicated and seen from the FFC, the study that was done by the Johannesburg, the AdLife Africa Johannesburg, makes a recommendation of 200 kilowatt hours per month. I am moving ahead of myself, Chairperson, because I think it's opportune to talk about it now, but it's going to come through in the next slide. But I think we then have got to ensure that it is based on that as SALGA, we are saying that we now have got to take proactive steps in supporting those municipalities that are unable to provide these services, because, as we say, it's a constitutional mandate and we are obligated to do so. The overview of the effectiveness of the National Indigent Police. Chairperson, we have indicated that there has been differing ways in which municipalities between themselves are implementing the indigent policy on FBE, and also the differences between ESCOM and the municipalities in the same municipal area. We have seen, Chairperson, that there are municipalities that have adopted the broad-based targeting of the people that are benefiting from the free basic electricity, and the example is Eguruleni and also Cape Town, and there are also municipalities that are using the indigent register provide free basic electricity. The challenge with the indigent register is that people do not remain indigent all the time. And majority of them will not be honest enough to say, we have now gone over that and therefore take us off the register. And the management and monitoring of the people's indigent status becomes a challenge, which is why, Chairperson, the issue of the targeting automatically in terms of the usage level may be the one that that differentiates effectively. And if I can talk about Eteguini that I know of, when people were self-targeting and applying, we had less than 10,000 people benefiting. When we did the automatic targeting using the 150 kilowatt hours as a threshold for indigents, we had jumping to 67,000 and 65,000 coming to claim free electricity tokens. And for me, Chairperson, that then proves to be the most effective one. But still, what is being done, as indicated before, is that we then have got to differentiate in terms of the areas, and the margin of error will be marginal compared to if we were using the broad-based approach and then including every other person that shouldn't be benefiting from it. Chairperson, when we talk about the tariff that support the poor, in terms of I think it's section 742B of the Municipal Systems Management Act, it says that a municipality has to have a tariff policy that reflects at least one of the following principles, and one of them is which says that poor households must have access to at least basic services through tariffs that cover only operating and maintenance costs, special tariffs or lifeline tariffs for low level of use or consumption of services, or for basic level of services, or any other direct or an indirect method of subsidization of tariffs for the poor households. To that effect, then, Chairperson, NERSA has approved lower increases for customers that are seen to be indigent. That is why, Chairperson, I indicated that when Buffalo City says they have introduced the indigent tariff block, it should have been there for some time, and I'm glad that it is happening now. But also, we have NERSA has also introduced the inclining block tariff as an attempt to address the plight of the poor. I think it has been emphasized by many people that the inclining block tariff is not the right instrument for addressing the plight of the poor, because you have some poor households that, because of the sheer numbers, use a large amount of energy, and because of the ability of the rich people to switch between energy sources, they would then move down to the lower blocks, and we will then be subsidize them without any particular intention to subsidize them. And therefore, Chairperson, as ESCOM has indicated, we are appealing to NERSA to revisit the issue of the inclining block tariffs, and not only because of the issues of the poor, but also in terms of the sustainability of the distribution businesses. Because if you looked at the ESCOM's presentation, most of the people are consuming in the first block, second block, and third block. And those people that are supposed to be subsidizing all those people in lower blocks are very few. And therefore, they can also switch and then fall into those blocks, then the sustainability of the utilities will be negatively affected. And therefore, it is not a good instrument for the protection of the poor. So we are then asking NERSA to reconsider, as ESCOM has done so. Sufficiency of the 50 kilowatt hours, Chairperson, almost everybody has made the comment on it. The initial research that was done by the University of Cape Town for the department indicated that because of the percentage coverage of the sufficiency of 50 kilowatt hours, then 50 kilowatt hours was the level at which we must peg for the subsidizing of the poor. So at the end of the day, then we are saying that maybe if we open it, there are issues that we have to take into consideration, and we are saying that the appliances that are driven by that energy, what type of appliances can the poor afford to buy those? And because at the end of the day, the money that comes from the government is not a bottomless pit. There are limitations. So when we make these policies, we must make them in such a way that ensures sustainability, and that we are not unnecessarily subsidizing people that claim they are poor when they can afford all these expensive appliances that use the much amount of energy. The study that was done by EdLife Africa in February 2012, the FFC has spoken about, and they are proposing the 200 kilowatt hours per month, and it may, which means then that the happy balance may fall anywhere between 50 and 200 in terms of the two studies. So we'll leave it to the legislators and the policy makers to make a decision on how they are going to do that. But as SALGA, we hope to influence the discussions around that. implementation challenges. We have spoken about the inconsistency of the application between the municipalities and also between the municipalities and ESCOM in the same area. The lack of local government capacity is also a big obstacle to the implementation of the indigent police. Within the municipality, there seems to be an existing confusion as to who is responsible for the FBE. Is it the finance people or is it the technical people? But for me, that shouldn't be much of a problem because it's one municipality, whether it's finance people or not. But it means then that the capacity of the municipality to reason these things through is limited, and therefore we need to assist them in managing it. Technical departments in some municipalities have got no structures to roll out the FBE, and I think as SALGA we have then to do in terms of the municipal performance barometer to identify all these things and assist the municipalities. I think many of us have indicated that in some cases the communities are unaware of the issue of free basic electricity provision. And therefore, as municipalities, we must go on roadshows and make people aware of the necessity or of the availability of free basic electricity. I have indicated that we need to do the basic education. And in terms of the recommendation, Chairperson, I did not want to jump the gun and make the recommendations, and having heard everybody talking about the challenges and how we have done it, Chairperson, we can then all contribute to the recommendations that will take us forward. But Chairperson, that is the presentation then that we had prepared for this from SALGA perspective.
Thank you very much, Rob. Honourable members, it's 1 o'clock now. I will only allow questions for FFC because they are about to leave. Just FFC. I know National Treasury is still over us, but we have overrun the time. Can you just focus on FFC? Yes, Honourable Ross.
Thank you. Just a quick comment to the members of FFC. Am I right to assume that your presentation indicated that you prefer the equitable share as a once-off allocation to local government and that you have a problem with the public sector? Does it imply that you do not want specific grants in terms of the free basic electricity allocation? Would you like that to be included in the bigger allocation of the equitable share? That would be the one thing. And perhaps from a financial point of view, are you also concerned about the cross-subsidization that we see within the electricity pricing structure, that perhaps on affordability for business and the bigger users of electricity? We know that we have to somehow, of course, protect the poor, and we're all in favor of this. And then your information regarding the MYPD3, where we see there's a reduction of electricity prices and we see that there's a sort of a platform being reached by, in terms of subsidization of electricity to other aspects. Let me give you an example. The infrastructure build program, I think the Dupi and Kusile has been covered in terms of the MYPD2, but what would the position be in the MYPD3? Have you given your thoughts in terms of that? Thank you.
Honourable Bowman.
Yes, I just want to also ask, because it's a question I feel I need to put to the others as well, that since FFC are leaving, I need to ask you, have you done any in-depth study on the 50 kilowatt hours which would indicate, you know, we're talking now that 50 kilowatt hours and 200 kilowatt hours. What sort of a study have you done to perhaps indicate where you would see it fitting in?
Ma'am, what do you mean?
Thank you, Chairperson. The introduction part of FFC, where they talk about it has got impact on the women and children, the basic electricity. So it is a good thing which they want to do. But then with the 50 kilowatt and you're talking about the unfriendly environment. Don't you think that when people can't access the electricity, they end up in the very unfriendly environment, and that is why we see so many shacks burning every day, because you've got no alternative. Your only way is to go the firewood or paraffin, and then there comes all these things. Thank you, Chairperson.
Just the last one, Chair. FFC refers to elimination of illegal connections, energy savings by home and industry, and maintenance and repairs. How do you relate this to basic, free basic electricity? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. FFEC, one of your primary roles is to enhance and to develop on how we spend our public resources. And when I look at your graph that talks to the inefficiency, I would like to know what is your role to get it into those norms that is acceptable, because there was a lot of variations in the specific efficiencies, and I just need to understand that if there are certain deadlines, consequences. Are there any consequences? What are the actual losses that we are looking at? Put some figures to some of those losses that that is out there. Also, your role into debt recovery in the various institutions. How do you see that should take place? Should policies change? Should and then also the when Eskom did their presentation on the tariff strategy vis-a-vis the block tariff system, what is your take on that?
FFC?
Thank you, honourable members. I'll pick on some of the questions, and then I'll ask Dr. Ngobe to respond to those that relate to specific areas in the presentation. Let me be very categorical about the issue around the equitable share funding versus the conditional grant for free basic electricity. I want to take it from the point of view of the purpose of the equitable share in terms of how the Constitution envisages it to be utilized for, and then also why we have conditional grants in the system. That can take you back to the first recommendations of the Commission on the framework for an intergovernmental fiscal relations system in South Africa. One of the key issues that came out from there was the possible compromise that can be reached if we don't have norms and standards for the provision of basic services as assigned in the Constitution in terms of the mandates for the three spheres of government. Now, the equitable share is meant for funding those
those mandates that are assigned by the Constitution. That's very clear. So you can go to those schedules that speak to that, and it will tell you that electricity distribution is concurrent, but it's a function of the local government sphere. Now, if when we design the equitable share, both from a vertical division point of view and from a horizontal division point of view, we need to take into consideration Section 214(2)(i)(j) of the Constitution. It lists the criteria that the division of revenue must take into consideration. So any allocations amongst the three spheres and across the three spheres must take the constitutional responsibility. The sufficiency that we talk about is basically needs to be considered in the vertical division. Now, if we are saying that there's money that is moved from, which is meant for free basic services, into other services that are not, let's say here in this particular case it's electricity, into other services other than electricity, what we are saying is that there could be insufficient allocations on the other side. Now, a very critical point to consider when you think about the local government equitable share is that the local government equitable share funds direct benefits to individuals. So that is why most of the services that local government produces are direct to individuals, so there are user charges to that. Now, that's where the principles of cross-subsidization actually come in. Now, so what we are saying is that local government has a constitutional obligation to deliver on basic electricity. Now, if government puts a norm and says there's free basic electricity that you must deliver up to this level, at least that is a minimum norm. And that minimum norm should, in terms of the division of revenue process, be taken into consideration. Now, if municipalities, on the other hand, want to do more than that, which is what we have actually seen, that some municipalities are actually doing more than that, it's actually up to them because they are efficient or they raise significantly more revenues. There is a moral side to this that we can actually get back to in terms of inclusive development and growth and who actually benefits from that, but that's for another discussion. Now, if you then move from there, you then say to yourself, in what circumstances do we need to use a conditional grant? Let's say we've actually gotten it because we have a national norm here that every municipality must actually adhere to. So there are people that qualify for free basic electricity. Now we need to know who those people are. Those are the targeting issues. In crafting a budget in a municipality, the executive authority of the municipality has the power to decide on how to allocate. But in those decisions, the Constitution implicitly implies that there is money that is given for you to actually deliver on this at this particular level. So somebody has a responsibility for monitoring that in terms of the allocation that was given to this municipality and what the budget actually comes out to, everything has been actually taken into consideration that in terms of the Constitution, the resources that have been allocated are meant for. So there's a monitoring side, there is a reporting side, and I'm sure Marisa will probably talk to some of those things. Where is it that we are actually going wrong? Now, when we introduce conditional grants, on the other hand, we introduced conditional grants specifically to deal with spillover. So where you have certain jurisdictions that have particular types of services that are not in other jurisdictions. For example, you can think about your tertiary hospitals, which were in Gauteng and in Johannesburg, in the bigger cities, but not in the smaller cities. Now, people will obviously go to utilize those tertiary health facilities in Gauteng, even though the allocation process did not consider that Gauteng will take care of all of those people. So you then set a conditional grant to compensate for those spillovers across jurisdictions. That's the one area. The second, so it's just an illustration. The second area is where you have backlogs, where you basically decided we need to fast track the rollout of infrastructure in this so that services can be provided. So your rural electrification programs, for example, would qualify for those types of, but that's something that you do. There's a time frame over which that should be completed, and once that is completed, the money for operating that infrastructure must go into the equitable share, and because that's the day-to-day function of a municipality. So we cannot want to say, let's, because there is failure somewhere to monitor these budgets and make people accountable for what they are not doing that they are supposed to be doing. So then we say, let's ring fence. The experience with conditional grants, members would actually know, it's not very good, because the more conditions you have, the less officials would like to be involved with them, because there's a lot of punitive measures that actually come with those grants, and people tend to get scared to actually do what they want to do. So then the administration side of it, to administer those conditional grants, their costs. And so it's much more useful, because also once you put a conditional grant, so the municipality that has been setting aside some more money to actually provide at higher levels, there's no incentive now to do that. So they can just say, no, this is the conditional grant, this is the national government's program. It's no longer the municipality's program once you put it in a conditional grant. It becomes implementation of somebody else's program, which is not the intention of this policy. Let me talk to the issue. Honorable Bowman, you also ask about whether we have done any studies around this 50 kilowatt hour sufficiency. It's a straight no, we haven't. What we have done is to just look around at what has been done. One thing that I can say here is that it's actually quite a subjective process, because if you think about it, black and white TV, we are moving to digital TV now. Now, there's no room for black and white TV. So that basket that you have is basically no longer a functional basket. So these are things that must change as the economy grows, because it talks to the broader issues around inclusive growth. So if I say in poorer areas, for poor people, I will provide this much electricity, that's for a start. The Constitution requires progressive realization of this. So as the economy grows, we should be able to improve or to raise that benchmark that we're saying we need to provide poor people with this. But at the same time, we are empowering them and moving them out of poverty so that they don't actually have to rely on that. We must be reducing the number of people that must actually depend on this, whatever, for lack of a better word, handout. It's not the point of the policy. I think the point of the policy is to ultimately be able to move people out of that. But the problem with these kinds of things is that if you don't change it, the basket that we have now, I can't remember when we first introduced free basic electricity, but it's a long time ago. I remember when the equitable share formula had windows for these things. Wait, now, there's a lot of things that are changing. We're talking about ICT, we're putting computer labs in rural schools and all of that. The electricity that's required is probably going to be more than the basket that's defined here, to actually get those kids who come from those poor families to be able to also benefit and be able to compete with their counterparts in the other communities that can afford. So, again, the issues of subsidization will always remain an issue. Honorable Ross, whether or not we think that's a very good thing, I think the question, that is where the moral issues come in. It can't be an objective thing that makes economic sense. It's got to be balanced by the social imperatives. But the issue is to what extent or at what cost to those higher income earners and the businesses do we then address these kinds of issues. So I think it's really a question of balancing that, and that is where the issues around social contracts and compacts come into play. So I can't give you a straight answer of whether we think it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think on the balance of the facts that we have on the ground in terms of how our society is structured and where we come from, there's probably still a need to do that, but we need to find a balance or strike a balance to it. Let me ask Dr. Nuga to respond to the other questions that relate directly from the presentation.
Yeah, thank you. There are a few questions which are actually remaining unanswered. Maybe the question on efficiency will be answered by other teams. How do you get people to be more efficient? We may not be the best people to answer that one. But nonetheless, there was the issue of women and children. We definitely agree with you that if we are pursuing inclusive development, we need to take care of those vulnerable groups. And free basic electricity is a program really which could have massive benefits to those particular vulnerable groups. That's why in our introduction we make that particular point clear that if it is pursued very well, it will benefit those particular groups. For our inclusive development, which doesn't leave out other groups outside the realm of development. Then on the elimination of illegal connections, how do you relate this to free basic electricity? Okay, this was our recommendations as we concluded our presentation, that in general there are a lot of inefficiencies in the system. There are a lot of illegal connections whereby people are taking electricity without paying or authority. So if those could be eliminated, there is some electricity which could be freed for other important uses. So that was the point there. Then on our views on block tariffs, what is your take on block tariffs? I think we are in broad terms in agreement with other groups, but our point is that yes, it may have some advantages in terms of savings, etc., but there is one thing that it can actually hit those families which are big in terms of that they are big, they require more electricity. Then they'll be pushed into higher blocks, and in that particular way they'll be hit. So those are briefly our answers. Then on efficiency, how do you get people to be efficient? I think other organizations will come in on that one. Thank you.
In fact, around June, we'll be handling energy efficiency. We've budgeted 4 days to handle energy efficiency. We'd rather not preempt that. Thank you very much, Baba Kumalo and Baba Mwale. Honorable members, I'm sure we need to re-energize now. Can we take a break and be back here at quarter past two? Thank you.